All right, I'd like to welcome everybody out to the...
Did you turn off on?
Yes, those are off. I'd like to welcome everybody out to the minutes. It's called January's meeting, but I do believe it's February. Is this the agenda from last month?
We only have a January meeting.
Yeah, not in January. Yeah. All right, I'd like to welcome everybody out here today. Appreciate the... everybody's patience and time and efforts in attending today. Oh, this is the minutes from that. We don't have the agenda here.
It's all here. Okay. I'm just trying to get you online so that everybody else that's interested in hearing can hear.
Okay, so you take that as a priority, Linda, please.
This is, okay. I thought that was a priority.
That's a priority before 8 a.m.
I've been here for 7:30.
I know that one is just there going to spend time doing it. I'm not.
I agree.
Do I have anybody volunteer to give us an opening prayer on this meeting today? I will. Our Father in Heaven, we're thankful for this beautiful Saturday morning we have to gather together as the Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association board and members. Please help us this meeting to have a successful and a good meeting. Help us to pay attention and listen closely to one another. Help us to be mindful of others and share our thoughts and make progress this day. Thank you for those who have traveled near and far, and please bless them as their travel return, that they might do so in peace and safety. And this is the same in Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Thank you. I'll pass these around. We'll see if you can. I'd like to take a roll call. Mark, Graham, President.
Somebody please write those down, please.
Ben.
I assume I'm taking minutes also.
Ben Clarkson.
Hey, Charlie.
Brian Jadimski,
Robert Allen,
Dale Clarkson,
Linda Allen.
We're back to you.
Oh, Brett Palmer, Brett Searle,
Harry Bear.
This is something to talk to you.
So, is the telephone been picked up?
No.
Okay, there's at least three people, if not more, online.
And it just was not a priority, so I'm doing it now.
Okay,
all right.
No,
I think it's
a
priority. But anyway.
I think those are more copies of that. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Everybody get one?
Everybody get an agenda.
One? Yeah, a few extra there.
All right. We, for the motion out there, to approve the January board meeting minutes as they are written and as they have been passed around.
Anyone make up?
Yes. I thought this was the board meeting minutes from last time.
In January.
Yes. I make a motion to accept the minutes the way they are. Anybody want a second?
I'm really quick looking at these printed ones to see if the changes I see in them.
Mark, is that any different than doing it online, approving the minutes?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I guess it's acknowledging to the for the record for the association that we have reviewed them. I guess we acknowledge between ourselves, but the board does, or the association doesn't get it for record for the.
I like talking about this because there's several things that have become. Gotten out of hand since our last meeting.
Amen.
And one are these board minutes. I mean,
in any board lived by the bylaws, we would approve in this meeting the minutes of last time. What Vance Green has asked is, or not just Vance maybe, but that we look at them to see that they're good enough to put out, you know, that they're maybe not so messed up or misrepresentative or anything before the, you know, they go out to the people. And so for 2 or 3 years, when Linda's done them or somebody else has done them, they've got them to Linda. She's not always done them, and I know she doesn't prefer to do them, but she's done a good job when people have gotten stuff to her. But Vance is one that usually has always said, hey, is this good enough to post? And so that's what happened. These minutes...
I asked if it's good enough to post. Vance is backing me up on that.
True. But Vance is the one that's kind of been the gatekeeper of the website, and Vance has been very good to not post anything unless he at least hears from the president or several board members that it's good enough at least to post. He will not just take this meeting minutes and post it on there. So that, because it could be a problem.
But is that the unofficial post? And then
this is official. What happens in this meeting? We don't have the authority. Two people emailing in or something, and we don't have any way of keeping record of roll call unless it's official. This is the official exception of the minute. So before, and so that's where I'm happy to clarify. If we want to change the rules, if people feel different, let's just clarify that. Because before, that's where we were operating when Dirk Clayson was president and some of that. So this time, you know, when these minutes were emailed out over the weekend, I was out of town for a week. That's when, you know, I don't know if you got cleared up, but Mark said, you know, and I understood in things that Mark, you know, didn't receive them or maybe missed them. Jody answered, which we have all kinds of editorial in here, which is, in my opinion, some of it not even appropriate for the minutes. And then I went back and I did correct a couple things that were, I mean, I'm fine with what's in there that's been put in. I'm not trying to tear down anybody else's work. Other than a few of the things that were completely not factual, I changed, and that's what I just wanted to clarify.
That's what I put out there, and I was, So I think the last post I saw, I think it had the changes, but I didn't,
I got buried with so many posts since I mean, I'll just tell you right now, it's kind of, I'll read 25 pages between now and next meeting. If I get 75, I'm going to miss some. I'm just done.
I agree.
So, if we want to say three of the seven board members, so that at least there's, you know, several I see it or anything, it's good enough for bands to post. We would still, that doesn't negate our authority to be able to then in this meeting say, after we get together, part of it is because sometimes somebody may have a question and it reminds all of us, I say, oh, that's right, Brian, you did make that, that's important, should be in here, let's put them in here. And we could then just handwrite it in, I'll approve it that way, and then Lynn could actually, you know, edit it and post it on the website for archives that way. That makes sense?
Yeah.
The way it's worked in the past is I sent out the minutes shortly after the meeting, within the week after the meeting, I sent out the minutes to everybody. I've received edits back, and I correct them, and usually it only takes about 4 or 5 days, and by the end of that time, I can put all the corrections in, send them back out again for a second approval, final approval, and then it goes on the website. That's the way it's always worked. I've had a terrible time getting anything back,
And those that don't answer back, and I'm as guilty as anybody at times, is it because you think, hey, that's fine, so I don't really, you know, I think I'm being asked for edits, and if I have no edit, I'm not a responder. Do we need to respond back and say,
that's why,
you know, just
saying,
a short one word, I'm okay, or something?
That's why it says correct or approve.
Well, this is general in my life. This has been hard, so, you know, I've been throwing a lot of rocks at lately, so, you know, I keep them coming. This whole lifestyle of now technology is dominating my life, and I cannot even function 7 days a week.
It's crazy.
I don't want to see it work. I have some disagreement that in order to feed my family, I put up with that, but Deer Springs is meant to be something where we enjoy it. And if I cannot even spend time and tuck in my kids one day a week because I am being bombarded to try to do that, I am not going to participate. So either we're going to change it, or Ben Clarkson, for one, is going to be bowed out.
That's fine. Telling you how it works.
I know. I'm not trying to be critical. I'll apologize right down for my tone today, but I'm going to say things so that it's loud enough. Nobody can walk away saying, I don't know how Ben feels.
Well, here's my...
So we have to have something to say. If we have, within, you know, there's no reason these have to be approved before today. So if we're meeting every month to say, Linda's going to try to get them to us within a week, within the next 2 weeks, we will try to approve them so that Linda has a full week to have them posted on the website. But who are we trying to hurry to post them on the website for? The 7 board members are the ones that need to approve them, and we're going to be here the next meeting for the most part. If I'm running faster on my right to get them posted early for some member or some critic or some anybody else, I'm not going to do it. My job as a board member is to make sure that these were accurate and get them in here. And so like I say, when I read through it, stuff that I'm like, I mean, last meeting, some of the most important stuff, you know, and it's really hard to get minutes that you know, capture some of the commentary, but also mainly, you know, the action items. In the past, we've had times, you know, we have 2 months this last 12, and we don't even have minutes, which is obviously a problem. We have some times where there's motions taken that are missed. But Ryan, I think, asked as critical and important of questions in the last meeting over some critical issues. None of that's in here. But we have, you know, the longest minutes I've seen in 2 years with a bunch of somebody else's editorial, most of which is talking about stuff that didn't even happen in the meeting.
Right. Minutes should be an overview of what happened. The commentary really shouldn't be in there. If they want commentary, they should go to the recording.
Well, that's, I think, your job as your position and Mark's job as president. I will respect those positions, but I'm just voicing a little bit of a thing, because I'm not trying to be critical of Ryan's stuff not getting in there.
No,
because but I'm not going to say, Ryan, it's your important to come and ask those questions, and mean, but then you need to spend 2 hours after meetings making sure you get it on the record.
I'm under the impression that the minutes are what actually ended up happening. We voted on this, it passed. Not all the commentary, because that's what the audio is for.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the story. Minutes are not 5 pages long. Minutes are, this is what was proposed,
and
this is what was closed, this is what was tabled.
And I feel for the first time in a long time, somebody actually got into the audios and actually listened to them.
Yeah. So I think that the minutes are out of control. I think that she should, whoever posts them to the group, should post them, and they get approved at the next meeting. I mean, that's how it's been in, I've been in other clubs. Stuff like that, that's how we win. Boom, boom.
Right.
This is not a race to get this stuff up. If they want to be here, be here. Door's open.
I agree.
So my thing with minutes, I look back. I'm not going to keep track of the whole thing and then go back through and recheck and see if it's all there. I go through and look at whatever my assignments were and make sure they're on the minutes. And I wonder why they're not. And sometimes I personally just... So that thing that will go away, whatever. But I'm not keeping track of the whole meeting. So when I get the thing for approving the minutes, most of the time I ignore it. Hopefully someone else is paying attention to everything else and gets it off.
So I appreciate that input. I think it's let's make that look more that way. Let's have Linda cut down on what she has to record and put out here for everybody. Let's have it so that everybody resorts to the internet for the audio if they want some clarifications on something. I agree 100%. I agree. Let's go ahead and make it so that at least 3 board members must approve.
And if 3 board members are too busy to approve them to post.
That's all I need is 3. That's all I ask for.
So if we don't get 3, then don't post them.
And don't post them.
I don't.
Well, I know. Well, but we...
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
So, I don't care if we take this big of minutes. I've been on board that took bare-bones minutes, ones that entered a lot of stuff. I don't care, but it needs to be a fair representation of the entire meeting, not just one part.
It does.
That's all I'm saying.
So eliminate the editorializing.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to have some of it in there, but like I say, I wanted them to be fair and some of the other discussions and stuff that you put in there. But
I try, and if you'll look at my previous minutes, I put in there what I feel is important that has been discussed, and so far.
Are you saying that these are your minutes and you approve it?
Well, when I send them out, when you send me corrections,
right.
I send them out with corrections showing.
Okay.
And you can tell me what to do, but it's not my job to say this shouldn't go in the minutes.
Right.
So I'm not the one that approves them.
I think things that I made comment on are removed and changed in here.
I wouldn't have removed anything from the minutes that I sent you. So.
Yeah, I mean, no, the things I disputed up front, I think have been changed and corrected.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, they
yeah,
were.
Yeah, that's the stuff I, that I saw.
These minutes don't show the changes. This is the final of what I received back to send out. Do okay.
Okay.
Now on black.
I second the motion to approve these minutes.
Are you writing this down for me, Lauren?
Yeah, I got it here.
Thank you.
Who made the motion?
I did.
Mark.
You can read my chicken scratch later.
that will be fine with me.
financial report, Linda?
Well, we need a vote on that.
Okay, sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Hello? I'm going to put you on speaker. Okay. I'm not getting it. Here's your other report. You want to come out of bounds first?
Oh, sorry.
Okay, did we come up with a policy for future?
I got it written down here that
once we approve of the
must have approved by three board members before Vance can post, and as discussed by Ben, the minutes should be recorded in the minimum and allow the owners association to listen to the online recordings for the rest of it.
Yeah.
But, and again, to be open, those members, anybody that listens to those,
mm-hmm.
I have no problem if any member that listens to the audio sends an email to Linda and say, hey, I listened to this, I think that's a key point that should go on the record, and they send that in,
yeah.
You know, I'm fine. What I would like also, and I apologize if, you know, Linda,
I'm
not trying to listen to three people. I just like to have a deadline that, Linda, you take all the input you want up until this time, and then, you know, maybe even a week or 10 days before mm-hmm. the next meeting so that we have time to kind of digest it, but send it out once. I don't want 17 revisions, and I have to read the whole thing to find out where somebody added or deleted a few.
Well, you shouldn't, because I send them out in color. So I don't know, maybe your phone doesn't pick up that color.
Well, what I was just saying, because you were, if we could maybe have a goal that, I was saying, any board member, or even members that may listen to audio may have something that, hey, this is important, I'd like to see that reflected in the minutes.
Yes.
Then you can take all that and go through and then send it out at one time.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That's what I'm trying
to say. And then if somebody on the board says, well, that's wrong, and then we could go back. But we don't send them out with each revision every time somebody does.
Did we go with 1 week after Linda's first post?
I think that's a good idea.
Because everybody a week after she makes her post, first post to... Because I felt like I was in the crunch time last time. It was like, if she just posted up, by that time I actually saw it, and it flipped up on the same day I saw it posted, and I saw it accepted, and I saw it shipped out, pretty much, the way I interpreted it.
So
they could understand where I'm at.
I totally did.
I think we have more communication with satellite or email out of the ranch than I do in North Dakota. So.
No, I totally understand that. I sent them out, I mean,
it's also down time to be...
Who's on the phone?
1 week after you received them. If you will send me an email back, say I received it or
I will
right
commit,
away, then
I will commit to try to respond either looks great or here's the changes I see it so that you're not deflecting because I understand where that's frustrating.
Okay.
I've settled a lot of my electronic communications device problems up there, so I should be a little bit better now.
And you've been really good about answering that. I should have known when I didn't hear from you that something was not right. But if you'll let me know, then I know I've heard from you. If I haven't heard from you in a week, I will bug you again.
Who we got on speaker right now? Or are we on
it's phone? Not on speaker.
Okay.
We're not getting enough communications yet.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
Okay, Linda, is the box not working or is it the Skype? Or
it's going from Skype to the... The problem is I can't get on the teleconference from Skype. That's the problem.
Have we done that before or have we...
Yes, that's how we've been doing it.
But we've included Skype that had visual or was it just...
No, just audio. Just audio.
Okay. So this is the exact same way we've done it the last few months. It's just something's not working.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know what the problem is.
Technology has its hiccups once in a while. All right, can we move?
You have the papers in front of you,
yes.
Balance sheet. We have about $8,700 in the bank right now. Testing has been coming in on a regular basis. $8,000. And investments have been coming in on a regular basis. We haven't been spending too much money, although we did order fuel before the prices go up terribly. And other than that, there hasn't been a whole lot going out.
Okay. I'd just like to ask or mention, you know, part of the financials, because I still have been seeing a lot of the mail, you know, and I'm giving it to Linda. Looks like we have, since the last meeting, gotten a couple of large of the collection checks from delinquents.
Yes, we have.
That's one's from the attorney.
Attorney, because I remember the attorney was working to make some real good headway last time.
Well, we were in January. I think we reported that we were about ready to settle. I think there's two of the biggest collection cases we've actually gotten our cash. Can you tell us what
two others that are coming in? You don't want.
Well, we don't know names, but is that true that there's two?
Yes, we have been reimbursed for the assessments that were behind on two lotos.
That were like 3,000-ish or something.
Exactly.
So at least
there you go.
So it's like 6,000.
And as well as attorney's fees, or half attorney's fees, they have to with us and them. And that has added to the coffers, of course. We have two others that are still in process. And I have been talking to him pretty regularly on those. He's asked us to update our liens. And I'm going to be doing that this next week.
Okay, so that would bring us down to everybody who's more than, say, you know, 2 years behind. All the, you know, everybody else has some.
There's two more that are 2 years
behind. But that's what I'm saying. Other than those two, everybody's current within a couple of years. So any of the historic ones we've never.
I have an aging report that I can give to the board members with me.
Well, and we can look at that if we need to in an executive session. Where
we can.
I just wanted to leave to say that, I mean, Linda's done a good job. I think the attorney's been actively working on that. That was one thing that the members had definitely said, is to have a big balance of uncollected. I don't know if there's even a. Oh, I think that's in a different report. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that because I had seen it to make sure I was right.
Well, we can ask Linda for the first part of the executive session, maybe just hang on for a few minutes to release that information for us before you cut out.
That'd be fine.
Appreciate that.
And I will stay if you want me to.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to add on the financial, Linda?
No.
Okay. Moving along to the next item, which is the Ranch Management Report. It was normally done on by Paul. So it's Dan
not planning on.
I'm sorry?
Paul and Nancy are not planning on being here.
They were not planning on being here, no.
Last I talked to him, then he was, so. Okay.
I spoke to him the day before.
Now, does anybody have something they want to report in his behalf?
Snow up there.
Here's the inventory.
Yeah.
I got very nice report on that too, by the way. I appreciate that, Brett.
It isn't perfect. We took pictures of everything. Got a couple other pictures to take. If I tried to transmit this via my satellite link, it would still be working. Okay, so I'm just going to bring the chip in when it's all done. So the question I have for the board now is, what do you guys want? I don't think it's complete right now. I want to do a few more things, but what do you guys want from the ranch house part, the ranch and the store?
Was there ever any kind of spreadsheet produced as we're buying all these new tools and stuff that we know what's been done?
I have everything in QuickBooks. I've been trying since 2007 to get a base inventory to work with.
Well, and this will be the beginning in the base, and so I think it's a good thing. I think that when things are cleaned up, the store inventory is mainly, you know, stuff to be sold that could quickly be done, and then, you know, ranch house are some of the things that are not the tool sheds that you've kind of
I figured it was going to be pretty easy. It's going to be there's a fridge, there's a stove, there's a
freezer,
there's, you know, blah, 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 and because most of the stuff in there is theirs. Now, one of the other things I'd like to do is when the new manager comes on board, and I'll take this responsibility on, don't you guys worry about it, is I'd like to do a more complete inventory of just, you know, naming everything.
But is that down to the wrenches and the
stock? You know what?
At least photographically, I mean, he...
I used to do this at the fire department every year, and we did everything.
Exactly. It should be done every year.
And what I suggested to Linda, and I sent her some information, is I don't necessarily think you ought to do it this year, but down the road, we need to buy ourselves a barcode system where we take and print our own barcodes, we put them on those items we want, we have a barcode reader, and every year we can go through them, tick, 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 and we'll save ourselves hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of time. Packages for what we need are going to be $1,000, something to think about for the next budget year. Save you a lot of time. We'll be able to keep an inventory of it. We'll know fairly quickly if we're missing something at the end of each year.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, the other thing Paul's going to do is Paul's going to lock up the tool shed as soon as he gets his stuff out of there. I'm going to take possession of the key, all right, so that if nobody's around, things don't walk off, all right, because things have walked off before.
Yeah.
I donated a really nice tube skylight, because when we were going to do the ranch house renovation, that came up missing. You know, there's been lots of little things that have gone. But most of it, well, everything that's big that has been purchased was there, and I think I got it on the inventory, and so it wasn't the best, but it's not bad. It's a good place to start. Anyway, so you guys decide. Let's just go from there, and then let's stay on top of this, and let's not let it get out of hand in the future. That's simple.
I think what you already produced is great, so to follow through in the other areas, and then the photograph, I think that's the big thing, so that we can always look back and say, see that photo? Now, which item was that or whatever? And so some of those, Paul was going to, because I was keeping a lot of the downloads off of his camera. You know, so when you get that card, I'd like to have some redundancy. If I can back some of it up, and then, you know, I don't know if...
Okay.
I don't know what our backup system is right now, Linda, other than your computer.
For archive photos.
I have a dealt with archive photos, but...
Well, I'll just bring them to you.
Yeah, I'll do that, but we may want to buy, you know, I mean, now
external
we can get
hard drive,
an external hard drive for less than $100 for a terabyte and all this stuff. We can keep that in at least some location with a lot of different things. Once in a while, Vance can take it and update, you know, download a lot of the documents that we have on the website onto it, just so that... either that, or if we go to one of these off-site ones, it'll end up costing us just $10-$15 a year. But anybody can scan or upload stuff from wherever, and it's, you know, up there in the clouds, whatever.
Well, we just received this information yesterday, day before yesterday, and so we haven't processed it yet. But yes, we need to have a good inventory of what is out there. We need to know what is ours. And if, you know, with different people coming in, different members going down, and like Brent said, borrowing things from the ranch house, we need to know what it is and where it's going.
Well, let me just mention for everybody to remind me, I still know, and Paul and I talked, he was going to that day, but we didn't, because the broadcast heaters, that was something that I was involved in, was mine, that went to the ranch in exchange for assessments, was approved last year, and that's still on my property.
Oh, is it?
He hasn't used it since then, but I said, Paul, I want it up there so it gets in the inventory and in the photos and we don't forget about it.
Right.
And then also the $800 or $950 John Deere cedar that we bought. Did you send a check up for it?
It was on your account.
It was on my account, Crossroads. So that's still in St. George. And Paul was twice down there and was going to pick it up. As of the last I know, it's not. So anyway.
Okay, where is it? Crossroads?
Crossroads Equipment in St. George.
I'm going to be going to and from there a lot in the next month. At least one of the trips or more are going to be involving my trailer.
Okay.
Here's a suggestion that I appreciate. But another thing I'd like to throw in there, too, is my dad offered to go pick that up for us. And number one, you know, my dad is on equipment and stuff like that. He offered to go through it completely and make sure everything's up to speed for the ranch. And he said he would even like to go see how to get all the settings up for it and everything else like that. And we'd probably just run how much seed that we have on lot one.
and try it out and then be able to teach and train whoever we put in that position. He was willing to train Paul for that operation of that machine.
That's probably even better because, I mean,
it's light and they have something that will lift it onto a trailer sideways and then the Kubota can easily safely lift it off up there or rent that for several pieces of equipment. I think that the key was, and that was what one of the reasons that I was in favor of getting it, is the heat isn't that much to us. It seems at least like the well field and stuff this spring. Now with the snow, if we get another warm period where that could have been run in January and put that seed in underneath the snow is what we were trying to get. But I'm a little disappointed that, you know, priority wise here in the window, some of those things have all.
He offered and he's willing to go do that for the ranch, just to go pick that up and like to go through it and then fine-tune, make sure the crossroads are there, make sure everything is working on it properly, and he'll drag it up to the ranch and throw some seed in and run it around.
Does he have a trailer? I mean, I know he does, so that was the only thing that they didn't, it's good to run it for 10 miles down the road, but to draft it from St. George for...
No, he has to lay down loads up there too, he can use the tractor.
Well, I'm in favor of that. I think that'd be a great idea. Just so we know what's up.
Just before it goes clear up there, and we need this or that, because he would. Yeah.
Okay.
He's a maniac when it comes to that. Half the people in this room. I think all the people in this room pretty much know that. So.
Okay.
All right. I'll do that.
I approve that as an action item.
Okay.
Val can get them.
Second. Val can help and get the John Deere drill tuned up into the ranch and if he can wants you to use it to cheat brought one or whatever.
Is he gonna get yours? Who's gonna get yours?
Yeah, you have a picture of that cedar that you have up on your lot?
No, it's right across from my house. I can take one. But that's a Cyclone one we had up there last year
right there. He's one of their signatures at.
No, Ben has a...
The broadcaster.
Yeah. It's your property that needs to come to the ranch.
No, it's across the road from my house. And video's on the back of any pickup truck.
Oh, okay.
It's a little tough for one man to load.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that a broadcaster or a drill?
It's a broadcaster. It's a big funnel broadcaster for fertilizer or seed.
Brent, will you add those to your inventory that you've done? So far. Will you add those to your inventory that you've done so far?
They're on there.
Oh, they're on there. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Paul told me about it when I put them on, so.
Great.
All right. Next item on there was to make a plan for interviewing new ranch managers.
Postpone this to a later part of the agenda.
Yeah, I'd like to move on as quickly as we can. I think that's something that we probably could just hit on real quick during our executive.
And there's information at the end of your agenda regarding that. So, yes, again,
have we posted some kind of application yet or some kind of wanted yet?
Not that I
don't
want.
Yeah, we need to discuss that quite a bit.
I think so.
Inside and outside of the session, I think so.
I don't know if this is the appropriate format if you guys just want to do it, but you wanted at some point in time you guys can discuss what you and I did the other day about seasonal.
Yeah, well, I think there's some discussion, openly. If we're talking about individuals or something, then that's usually to protect their privacy would be something in executive session. But at least talk about some of the process and things. But I definitely, let's get the old business taken care of.
Okay.
All right, let's move on then. The next section on everybody's agenda.
For everybody's information, I've given up on Skype.
Is there anybody that we can? I'm happy to call and have somebody on speakerphone on my phone at least so they can hear.
I have that information if you'd like to put it on there.
Sure.
It's at the top of the first part, the bottom part, the 712 number.
Yes, for.
So that will tie in the teleconference?
That's the teleconference, and the bridge is underneath it. Jody's already got it open, so.
All right. As the next item on the agenda, just list our areas of responsibilities. We all know our levels right here. So I'm just moving right along. Roads and fire protection, we're still holding, we're leaving the Title V application and waiting for
the guy from Utah here from Clark County, or Kent County, to return, so we're leaving that till April. Moving into wildlife and agricultural, Ben, any discussion, any more further discussion?
Hello?
Okay, well, hold on here for just a second.
Hello? Who's there? Hey, Jody, this is Ben. I was just wondering if this would work to at least where those that were there could hear or use a different phone system.
Give it just 1 second here, Ash. Well, you can just stay on this so that if anybody does call on the conference call, they would still be able to hear. Let me just put this on speakerphone and you see if you can hear and communicate at all. Yeah, I'd keep her on that. If she can talk from that end of the table on yours and this end of the table on mine, I'd mind.
All right, so since we're trying this thing out with the teleconference problems, let's do you want to see if she can hear you as you get any discussion on the hunt lease, Ben?
I don't. That's just left over on the agenda. You know, in the winter, I need to now mainly meet with Paul, and get the latest update on anything that he may have thoughts or whatever specifically to the grading, some of the stuff that he's learned, because, you know, as he said last time, he was comfortable, and so I just wanted to double check with that. But we still have months before the hunting scouts will go in first, and we'll see this spring. I mean, the next thing, when we do have some budget and stuff, is whether we're going to be able to get any of the fencing done, because now, like we said last month, we're way behind in our portion of the lease and our commitment, and I'm not sure that we've got any fencing done yet, so how we're going to get fencing done between now and here in person is going to be something we need to do.
What was that?
This is Linda.
Yeah. All right. Then we'll follow through with Paul about that.
Has anyone talked to Hunt and themselves besides Paul? Because I mean, if he feels that there's areas that can be improved, maybe he could guide us on priorities for us to do instead of us just going out there on our own.
Yeah, we have.
Okay.
It's been a while. Paul has sent ideas. Mm-hmm. So Paul was very clear on the priorities.
Okay. So
not only just blanket, but the top priority we have to do before this next grazing season. That's what I want to review with Paul.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Good. So we're moving right into water resource management. Dale?
On the, they're conducting the report on the water, except may I stay just a minute and talk about the resolution? I think we're our own worst enemies. I think everybody has the emails. Look at this stack of emails this last month. Most of it on foolishness. The criticism of the January meeting. I called David to see if he wanted to stay overnight at my house, knowing that he was driving down. He said, I need to stay at home for a grandchild's birthday party until 7. He was bringing his mother and father and an 81-year-old aunt down. I invited them to stay at my house. Since they've been members of Deer Springs for 40 years, they thought it would be appropriate for them to come in and sit in on part of the meeting. This has been criticized, foolishly, by some that we had stacked the meeting to get them to come and help make sure, get the vote, whatever it was. It's things like that that is really tearing the organization apart.
Right.
I hadn't talked with them then or since. They went out to Arizona for a particular construction assignment they had. They came back to my house at midnight on Monday night, left the next morning at 5, so Dave could get back to work. So to appreciate the effort that some of you are going through to come to these meetings and to help make some decent decisions, Dave should be complimented instead of criticized for bringing some of his family members, his wife and so forth, to sit in our meetings for a few minutes. It's just, it's unfair that we're wasting each other's time. And so, in addition to that, I have nothing on the water development other than all the mail that's been going back and forth as to what somebody does not understand and won't ask questions or even find out where the spring is. So, I guess...
If I could throw a little add on that too, I've noticed that during the email sessions from everybody, there's an email section that's gone out from the board that somehow or another has been, I think some of the board information has ventured out to an entire mailing email list from the association on some areas that are supposed to be board members issues, and I think that the members should have a different way to chime in somehow. I think a lot of people's emails just got CC'd and grew and grew and grew and grew beyond where it should have gone. I don't know how that happened or where that started from. I'm not going to go research it back to figure it out, but...
The state legislature is having the same problem. Truly, it's on the news. It's the same problem. The board should be able to function as a board without having all the interference from outside, and then when you come to a decision and have come to a conclusion, then it can be out on what's going on. But you've got to be able to communicate amongst yourselves as board members where that information isn't going to anybody else.
I think the association, I hats off to everybody that's chimed in, really. I haven't seen this kind of participation, and I've never seen this kind of participation. I think when we take a letter in as a board, we should attach it inside of our email, but I don't think it should be CC'd and added into our entire passing situation as from the board. So for us to respond and to communicate back with you, but I think that something has happened here along the way that shouldn't have happened.
Mark, I think our assignments are challenging enough. And we probably each make enough enemies by trying to properly take care of our assignments without the help of those who want to sabotage. I think if we take an attitude of making everybody look good, instead of even putting falsehoods in to make somebody look bad, we would really begin to make headway on Deer Springs Ranch.
I think every member has done an awesome job. And most of those members, are even here right now, and their help with the ranch, and everybody is to be commended. That everybody, I'm sure, has something in their closet they would like to bring out, and I just would like to say I'd like it to stop. I mean, nobody's perfect in this group, by all means, but a lot of people do a lot of hard efforts. Brad, for one, I think, does a lot, too. And we appreciate all that hard effort. I think it's awesome, we need to keep we're all entitled to put out our thoughts, I believe, but we shouldn't criticize everybody to the point where these emails went to a 3-inch pile of paper.
Well, that's why I don't want to argue every point, but right. Some of these things Linda, let me, because I'm the one that, I am the Carson, I mean, Davey, I love your brother, you're part of the family, but he's still, his last name is Turley, so when it comes down to taking all the cheap shots, it's always me. And so the things like whatever went into the minutes that a bunch of Dale's siblings were here and they weren't even ranch members, and so...
Dave corrected me on that. I did not know Christine was
I
didn't say her name.
I just want to clarify for the rest of it, because this is now getting passed around. I've had a repeat back to me multiple times. So
of the people that did attend last meeting, there's none of them that are not members of the ranch and have the full right to be here. So this whole idea that, Fred, you can't be here because one time you know what? I sold you some property back in the day. So you should come to the meeting because you and I have a relationship that predates Deer Springs for some reason. That is completely absurd. Sorry to pick on you, Fred.
It was not my intent to cause trouble.
No.
I didn't know that. There again, I didn't. They don't. But it's in material. Who cares to who's here?
Well, we've had members. We've had people attend meetings that were not members. Repeatedly, it's never been called out that these were not members.
I apologize.
Well, let me a list of who used the cabins in the January meeting.
Yeah,
and the only one that was on there was about six names of Clarksons. So out of the 100 weeks that we paid for, whoever made that report up wanted to make us look bad, like we were hogging the show because our name was on there five or six or eight different times. That kind of monkey business has got to stop.
And we never used a cabin. It was all gifts.
Right.
David Kelly, you used them so
Okay, moving on.
Yeah, we're going to move on. It's, just wanted to put that out there for whatever. Sean is not here to report.
Jody?
Yeah.
I would like to reply
to that statement about the cabin uses.
Yes.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, that report was put together just for information gathering on the actual use of the cabin. That was not meant to single you out as those we preserved. It was just to make a more accurate figure on what times the cabins were actually used or what times they weren't. We could determine when the best times it would be to close the cabins or open them for everybody to use. It was not any saying that you're not like your cabin. You're not for time for the cabin. You can use them as you like. It was just for fast gathering for your stuff that was there. And this was in front of the board. So nobody else outside the board got that information. It was always presented inside the board, and the paper was always inside the board.
Why didn't you put everybody else's name on the list then except Clarkson?
I'm sorry, couldn't hear you?
The question, Jody's question, no, because I've taken more heat. Is there a reason that everybody, either we named everybody's names or we named no names and just say the cabin was used by a member? Or even put the lot number?
Here's why I did that. When you don't sign up or connectively list them, we really don't know if someone occupied them that week or not. So if you don't want to have it counted as actual usage of being booked or not being booked, so it's merely to put a question mark in that space. Everything else was booked, you know, like, there was no reason to put names. That was just to put, and maybe I should have put a question mark there and then explain to the board, this is a tentative reservation booked by, you know, and Patsy, and we don't know if there was actual people in the cabin during this time or not. Should we get a better actual count?
Okay, well, but I'm fine to put actual bookings or tentative bookings, but I think that, again, if we're going to put names, then let's be equal with everybody's names, or then let's leave names out of it.
Moving on.
Okay, both sides have been heard real quick, so we are going to move on. Since Sean's not here, we're going to jump into Dave with Kevin Maitland. There was a letter. Go ahead. And it's attached to the back of the minutes. I don't know. I read it on the emails.
So what's changed? Did anything happen with those two cops?
The last communication with some of my best friends would like to draft them if we can, right?
Yes, but that was also said 4 months ago.
Well, and that's where I think in the transit, before we open the cabin this year, the peacocks have got to be gone, and they will either be relocated or relocated.
And the porch, 10 times.
And the porch, yeah. I mean, it was misfortune for any member to come up and see that. I think it was an honest you know, oversight. You know, Paul's the one that removed several from, I was up there just a year ago, and Paul removed several, and Paul's been as frustrated as anybody, saying they kind of look pretty, and some of the members like them, but he had been up there and cleaned it, but again, this is not a resort. He's not up there scrubbing deck, and that's one thing that this member, you know, the whole tone of the letter is that I didn't have concierge service. We're in the wrong location if that's what they're expecting.
Peacock barbecue.
Is it good?
Or is peacock good?
Does the ranch own the little pressure washer that can be sprayed off once the peacocks are removed?
I think there is a pressure washer up there. There was one.
You know, I didn't see one. I know we got an airless sprayer, a paint sprayer, but I don't.
I'm sure that with the snow and it softening, they can be sprayed off and cleaned without.
Yeah, it can be cleaned up. And you know, the only thing one of the things that I think we really ought to look at hard, this with the new managers coming on, is limit the number of personal animals.
Absolutely. And, but we've battled that this whole time.
I know.
I mean, at the board, we've got an absolute firm directive as exact numbers, and I understand there are 7 horses at the ranch right now.
This will hopefully, we'll have a clean slate to start with.
Well, the peacocks, to defend the Braytons, the peacocks were not there.
Right,
they were
that's true. They were not there.
Yeah, their mom's there.
But what I'm saying is, you just when you add one thing on top of another thing, it becomes overwhelming.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Peacocks have been there for 40 years.
The peacocks were there. They were not a problem for many years because the cabins were occupied.
Yeah.
If the cabins are not occupied, it's a great risk for the peacocks.
Yeah.
I would like to help move the peacocks this spring.
Can it happen by 1st of April? Instead of kicking this can down the road, one way or another, they'll be
able to. The only problem with that is that the cabins that they are roosting at are year-round cabins. There's people come in all the time.
Yeah.
So really, this month would be better.
What's the end result? Where are the peacocks supposed to go? Has somebody wanted them?
No.
We know what that word out already.
Tell the people in Boulder would like to have some, and I'll probably put the rest of them up at Cavendale.
How do you catch them? Can you catch them?
Well, now in the snow, it's the best time.
Yeah, you can catch them.
Yes?
Food. Yes.
I make a motion for the board that we direct unnamed individuals to shoot any peacocks that are at the ranch April 1st. Anybody that wants them, get them before then.
You want to make a motion of that?
Yes.
Yes?
I second it.
Harvest them.
Dispose of them. Or whatever. I'm not going to relocate. There's 3 or 4 people.
Yes. But you have a count. How many are there?
About 6 now. But there, we were down to... We removed several that we were down to like 3 that we thought would be pretty and stuff, but
there's a population explosion.
So the removal by peacocks by when?
Well, again, I'm fine to go to May 1st, but I don't know in the cabin. Before people are in the cabins, and it's a nuisance that way.
These 2 cabins are year-round. There's somebody in number 7 right now.
We don't need to waste
one. I don't think so either. There's a fellow on 7-7 right now. So.
April 1.
can you
set a date.
April 1.
Got it.
There we go.
So should we set for April 1? We got to April 1 if anybody wants to get them and trap them out of there.
Well, the connection, whoever that was, with other ranchers or people to relocate them, let's encourage that.
All right, so open up by April 1. After that, they're open game.
No tag required.
There isn't a tag required for that, is there?
No.
Just a joke. There wouldn't be a tag required for that one, right?
Who gets in touch with the club that wants them to come get them?
I think we could post that out on the website.
I think whoever knows who they are, who might want them, just call them.
Just make them disappear.
Doesn't need to be a sign.
Do you know someone? Are you saying someone?
Della Fever, the county commissioner over in Boulder, told Dirk that he would like to have some peacocks.
So would we go and get them, or do we need to box them up and ship them to them?
I think
box it.
I don't know, but I'm just saying.
When are you going to Boulder?
There's another way.
Sometimes the next week, and I'll take peacocks when I go. I don't know how many, but I can take all of these.
Hey, Larry, this is Larry. Larry, take care
of all right, Ben made motion.
Let's catch them every time.
And Dave seconded it. Let me vote on all in favor. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Linda, will you report to whoever wrote the letter and let them know that the peacocks will be removed by April 1st?
If I will.
I don't want them to think we...
You know what? On what Brent has said, they've been roosting on Paul's truck for years, which...
He really didn't like
it. If it was my truck, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
More than three or four times. But I mean, he's been very more than patient.
Well, and that's the other thing. Members come down there with their cars, and
I've heard enough complaints that I'm happy to make a policy, whatever with the ranch manager, everything, that peacocks are not allowed there. I know that it's, but it is as upsetting to some as the 600 goats were to others, and it's outside of what's maintainable.
It was neat when they first showed up. I'll have to admit that was pretty. I enjoyed the sight, but I agree it just got out of hand.
Advertise that we're going to eradicate them. Just say that get them by then, or else they're going.
Oh, we'll get them.
Yeah. All right. I think anybody
who wants like
we'll just leave it for this quorum right now. We'll leave it for this quorum right now. That anybody who knows somebody that wants them, we'll make them disappear.
Are we going to trash this April 1?
No, they removed from the ranch by April 1.
Okay.
Or we will remove
not
them.
Not open season.
Yeah.
After April 1.
Exterminators will be contracted then.
You're enjoying this too much.
They are being removed and relocated.
Removed and relocated. Good.
You just tell them there's no guarantee they'll be there if they don't hurry and get there.
Yeah, first come, first serve. On the plate.
And Linda will notify
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Brown.
And all members are invited to the barbecue.
We'll be making feather hats.
Mark, I think there were several other items in that letter that was not to do with peacocks that are probably also on the detailed list that you and Linda made when we toured the ranch. There's a lot of things on the cabins that we need to pay attention to.
I agree, Dale. And I think we should pull up that list when we get some new managers in there and say, these are what we found on our last walkthrough as a board.
If we can, we need to review all that we've done to put into this job description process, not when we get them, but in making sure that whoever has gotten is will fit some of those needs.
The screens that are on this list were replaced and repaired at the beginning of spring last year. I have to contract that to happen. And all of those screens were repaired and replaced. And some were screwed into place. So I'd be interested to go up myself and look and see what it was that he came up with.
Well, I think sometime this spring, whoever can on the board should make a tour of all the facilities.
We may all be up there opening it up.
Well, you guys are discussing this. I'd like to bring up one thing about hiring the new manager. This is a fresh start for everyone. And I've watched a lot of these emails been coming across, and if you'll notice, I've stayed out of this fray completely. And the reason is Dale's taken some heat that he doesn't deserve,
right.
And some things have been said that are completely untrue.
Right.
And one of the things that I noticed as a full-time resident there, and worked closely with every manager who's been there in the 10 years that I've been here, is that the members are as at fault as the, for the work not getting done as the manager is. And they hold equal fault when the board makes a mistake with the manager. Paul and Nancy were extremely friendly people. They are. I think the world of them. I think they did a great job. It took them several years to reach their stride. And part of the problem is the members don't treat the manager as though they are an employee. I would not go to a friend of mine's work and hang out with them all day long during the day knowing that they had work to do because I'd get thrown out. okay? And so if we need to re-educate the members to treat the manager not unfriendly, and if they want to be friends with them, great. But after 5, or, you know, if they want to visit with them, it's got to be after 5 or 6 o'clock at night, not during the middle of the meat of the working day. And this could, and so part of this new hire is let's educate the membership too. And so we don't run into another situation where the member occupies this person's time all day long, and, you know, they don't get the work done, and then they either have to go out late at night and start working, or they don't get the work done at all. Okay? And I completely think that that's one of the things where a lot of the problems that we have, problems or perceived problems that we have, is much the manager's fault as anyone.
Well, right along with that, it is not the manager's job to do work on private lots, neither.
And if they want to, and they want to do it on their days off.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the membership should not be that.
We need to have a measure way that we both struggle with how to know. Are we hiring people for 8 to 5, and then they punch out, and then they do whatever they want, or is it, you know, this idea? You know, there's been communication on this last one that whoever is hired needs to be paid 80 hours a week. If that's the case, then that's not a 9 to 5, and so it's not even after 5 you can do whatever you want if we're paying you for 80 hours a week.
I agree with that. Well, I mean, the ranch manager's way, and I always remember from being up there myself too, was that's a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
But I would suggest, and I think if we used to talk to the new person, whoever comes involved, that try to limit and try to encourage those who come down and want to socialize. But you know what? Let's do this in the evening. You know, I got priorities I need to do right now. You know, I'm not trying to arrange, because there is going to be some evenings he needs to be busy doing some different things.
So Brent's right. The membership needs to know this.
Larry.
It could be suggested. I mean, I know a lot of people don't come to the ranch. They come there for vacation or to relax or to get away. But many of our members are capable and are willing to come, and they can do their socializing while digging postholes with the national
while they're
carrying wire, while cleaning cabins, and it helps the work rather than it is a hindrance to it.
Well, we've got
to
find a manager that will, you know, lead that and make it part of their ranching experience.
Right. That can work and talk at the same time, multitask. they can work with having a shovel in hand.
Can we get back to the point? Sorry.
Yep.
Split the 1 week half reservation to my next flank.
Yep.
People like me go up and spend a weekend there, and then the cabin is used, reserved, but it's not being used. And so.
Well, I don't leave it on the calendar that one.
You do not?
No, when you're up for a weekend, I just put the days in that you're there.
Okay.
Case in point, they have a reservation for a short week, and somebody called and wanted those other 3 days. So, we've got 2
weeks. But then I have two weeks a year.
It does that way.
I'm getting for my 2 weeks, even though I was up there for Friday night and left Saturday.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So, man, it isn't your fault.
I don't count these visits, by the way, when you stay in a cabin for board meetings. I don't count.
I've noticed that.
Okay.
So that's what I was.
I don't see a problem until we see more cabin usage. You know, and maybe only a temporary thing, something that we can't offer forever, but that we break it into, or to say, to clarify, because, you know, even the 2 weeks now is something that's different than when we were on the point system for years and years, is that you have 2 weekends and 2 midweek uses. So that somebody doesn't dominate and take 4 weekends, you know, that's what would sell at first, but to say, hey, if that were, I don't know if that would work.
I would still like to do half weeks, however it's used, if it's 3 or 4 days, until that becomes a problem, and then we can look at it. But it isn't fixed yet for people like me, and we're going to get into the next thing. Next.
Yeah, that doesn't fix his problem because he's needing to come up on the weekend.
Yeah, it would almost always be weekend.
Well, how does anybody feel? Because I don't. You know, we need to get back to, I think, something that Brent brought up as far as some of the propane usage, some of the consumables, but as far as the actual structure, I'd rather have somebody in the cabin than nobody in the cabin.
Right.
Maybe there is a little bit of, if you go beyond your 2 weekends, then there's, you know,
again, I hate to get overly detailed on a chart or something, but...
Let's do this. I don't see a reason. The cabins aren't being used enough anyway, so why don't we temporarily, like you suggest, allow it to go ahead and happen until we see there's a problem.
The policy, because this has been discussed for many, many, many years, the policy is in place the way it is so that you can come up, and I'll just use you as an example. If you call Thursday and say, you know, I really want to come up for the weekend, you can come up, $25 reservation fee, $25 overnight fee. And that's cheap, you know, for staying out there. But anyway, anybody can go in on a last-minute basis for $25 and stay in the cabin with a $25 reservation fee, which is what is supposed to cover the costs of the propane and the other things that they're using. So that is one way to do it, and one way that they've done so that the cabins will be filled. The biggest problem with splitting a week that way is that your manager is going to have to go up and do all that extra work and during the week when they should be doing other things during the week. And that's the only...
But I thought that was, if that's part of the job, that's what they should be doing.
It is. It just makes a lot more work if we have a lot of people coming in.
But if it's mainly weekends, then...
If it's mainly weekends,
then they should be up there and plan on Friday as a changeover and prepping cabins.
It is. Same difference. And not just, there's also laundry during the week that has to come in and be done. So, and that doubles the laundry if we have 2 weeks. Assuming all the cabins are being used all the time.
Right, and that's right.
And they're not.
Until we get to that point, I think it would increase on the weekend uses, but it's not going to require them to do laundry and change beds again during the week because we're not going to increase the midweek use a whole lot.
Right, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But that goes against not opening cabins until we need them. Because now you're going to, your weekend, 1 second, Jody.
Hold on a second, Jody.
Your weekend use is going to go up, and now you're going to have more cabins open longer versus prior conversations we had is keeping them closed until they're actually booked.
But we're going opposite direction with that mentality. I think the idea should be that we're using
cabins. I believe we should use them.
We want people to use cabins,
yeah.
We want members to come
out. I'm happy if we do that just because lower in versus upper end or something, you know.
Jody.
Go ahead, Jody.
Okay. Yeah, just my comment is maybe we should put that in with the research and figuring out what Brent's resolution of last in January and work all that stuff in together so we can figure out how it's going to work.
Well, while we try to figure out how to work, let's see how it goes for temporarily and let some members use it that way.
Well, I think the issue was before that we've already had people reserving for the summer. And Linda, what do you think that's going to be? Is it a lot already or a little? And will this work to fit in the holes or...
It would work. You need to work out a policy first off, but it can work. We've got enough openings. That's fine.
All right, so...
And whatever the board decides to do on this, I will adjust.
Yeah, so we move forward then until she sees the problem. She can forecast the problem. See what happens.
Because we meet every month anyway, so why don't we just move forward with this? Dave, you made the motion, or who made the motion to go with this? Did you second it?
I thought I heard somebody say one or the other, didn't they?
I'll do it again. I want a motion that we split the weeks. So we have 4 weekends a year per lot.
I would second that.
Okay. The next one is cabin fees.
Did somebody want to second? Oh, no, sorry.
Cabin fees, we've talked about this some, and I'm pushing back on that idea. I signed on that part of the reason why we're assessed the fee is that we get cabin users, and there are a number of members that don't use cabins, and there are a number of us that do. There are members that use different parts of the ranch more for whatever reason. It might be the fish ponds or whatever it is that aren't assessed an additional fee for that usage versus the cabin usage. So I still think that it's part of the original deal, and that's the way it should be left. And having been required by a previous board decision to pay a reservation fee, that added to, it's just another form of a tax or an assessment, which is, I don't agree with, but here we are. And now on top of that, we're going to pay another usage fee, and it might be propane, it might be water, whatever it is, and I'm pushing back on
Let me just clarify for me. Right now, we as a board, I was on the board not a year ago, we, you know, until then we had a reservation fee and we had a usage fee, and we voted and we did away with the usage fee. So right now the only fee being made is $25 per reservation, mainly to offset the office expenses of, you know, the secretarial office side.
No, soap, detergent, laundry, propane, that's what that $25 is.
Splitting the weekends just pretty much doubled that too.
Yeah,
if you boom boom.
That's not me.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing.
That is the people that are using the cabin are paying for what they're using in the cabin.
But we call that a reservation fee.
It's a reservation fee.
But the usage fee we already did away with.
Right.
Okay, that is one thing.
That was voted against.
And okay, I'm the one that supports some kind of a use fee, then if we're gonna go back to the original thought of let's not do it, I don't care. Matters really not to me. I've got enough money I can afford to pay you whatever you guys want, doesn't matter. What matters to me is that now you're asking to split the week. Well, it's always been a week at a time. So we changed that. So I think we need to look and be flexible at all of them. If we're willing to split the week, and I'm not opposed to that, doesn't matter to me one way or the other, I think we need to also look at the potential for using a user fee of sorts.
But if we split the week,
you get $25 more.
Right? You get $25 more, exactly.
I'm perfectly okay with making that a $12.50 fee if you're splitting the week.
Well, $25.
That's why I've heard both sides. I'm happy we keep the $25 fee, and if you want to use it four times, you're going to pay $100. If you use it twice, yes. Then you pay $50. We already did away with the use fee. Brent had recommended some of that, and again, I've been yelled at that we already have an approved Brent thing to raise that fee or to put back the use fee, and I'm against that. I think we've got a pretty good middle of the road the way that it stands right now, and I'm happy to pay for that.
Mm-hmm. It's still the amount of usage of the soap and the toilet paper and everything else is still going to be the same. If you're splitting the week and you take it a half week and you take it a half week, they're still the same. There's 1 week rest.
And you've got another $25.
$25
for the rental fee. Yeah.
Right.
Or you're still
going to buy. The other thing you have to remember, we also, these consumables are not fixed costs. They are always going up.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's the other thing. I'm not saying you have to change things. I'm just saying that whenever you propose a change, like splitting the week, you also need to start, you know.
And the way we have it, we'll self-regulate. It will add to the budget.
And I'm fine with that. I just think that, you know, when you take certain things off the table and add other things to it, there seems to be a degree of not being fair.
Are those consumables that he's mentioning tracked in your accounting?
Yes, they are on the budget.
Okay.
I think by going on this would encourage more members to use the cabins, and also increase the income. So I think everybody would be happier instead of having cabins sitting there costing the same,
right.
But mm-hmm. being unused and unsatisfying. The reason for why people invested in the ranch to begin with.
Yes,
so
right.
I would call for a question on the motion.
Which motion?
Well,
a question on the date.
The motion that Dave Turner made.
It's going to be a motion to, I think, to leave things as they are.
Well, but we need to really back up. We never took a vote on the half weeks, and then we moved on.
So we had a motion. I have it written down here. We're going to vote on both of the motions. We had a motion, and we had a second on the split time. And it's about this one on the pay the additional usage fee for the cabins. I think we should leave it alone.
Well,
if you are motioning on 4 half weeks, you need to say 4 weekends. Because 4 half weeks
yeah.
would be 2 weekends and 2 weeks.
Right. I have that written on there as 4 weekends.
So just clarify that.
I motioned to accept the Dave's second resolution about the paying the additional or keeping the thing as a $25
registration.
Yes.
Yeah. I motion to accept that.
Second.
Okay, any vote for both of Dave's motions on both on the split week allowed usage for temporary time, see how things working, and on the leaving the pay as it, as the reservation fee? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
To clarify, that's for 4 weekends.
Yes, as the
what is your vote?
No, I thought it was clarified, not 4 weekends, but 2 weekends and 2 midweeks.
No,
it's a problem. We're not determining it.
Okay, you could have.
You can change that later down the
number of days.
Okay.
Right now, we'll allow 4 weekends usage. If you have 4 weeks of cabin use, and you can use.
You can split your week into two and however many days you want.
You can have the other 2 full weeks unless you, or you can
use. You just pay a reservation fee each time you make a reservation.
Yeah, you have the same number of days.
What did she say?
I don't know, but Jody?
Hi, yes, I'll abstain for this vote.
You'll abstain?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry. On half weeks or on 4 weekends, we need to specify for my purposes because I'm the one that will be fielding calls on this.
Mark,
4 days?
You're going to take four
half weeks. Let it go with that, and if they have weekends open, let them lose 4 weekends or 3 weekends.
That's what we determined, but four weekends, because then that would leave four front weeks in first half weeks unused. Four half weeks.
I would agree with that.
That way, if it gets to a point where all the weekends are bundled up, they can still use the first part of the week.
Yeah.
Still meet that qualification. If it states 4 weekends or 4 front half weeks, then it limits.
I think Linda's clear on what we've done.
Yeah, I mean, they have 14 days. Kind of, they can break it into fours wherever they want.
Okay, so we're breaking up 14 days per member.
Wherever they want it.
Okay.
Each, right. Up to four increments.
Four half.
Yeah, if they want to go five.
Okay. Very good. Moving on then. 14 days. Anything else on the cabin? I'd like to add one little thought on that. With the new situation we're faced with the managers, we don't have one right now. I suggested that I'd like to see if we can try to keep the majority of the upper cabins shut down until we really absolutely have to have them. Try to encourage the cabin rentals down to the lower.
That's my question I have. When is the normal open up the upper cabin? And I'm still afraid, we've had a light winter. I'm wondering if it's a light winter or a late winter. And I don't want the extra heading. But, if there's people that are saying that we want to reserve the upper cabin, when would we usually allow and take a reservation for an upper cabin?
We start opening them up on May 1st.
Reservations are May 15th.
Because there's always something that needs to be fixed.
And do we need to try to hold something down? Do we try to limit? Do we always use all the cabins up there? If not, can we leave some on the outside?
Everything's opened up at the same time.
Yeah, it's either the water system's on.
If you turn the water system on, you might just turn everything on.
Memorial weekend.
Yeah, that's why we can't push it out beyond Memorial weekend, the end of May at all. So
May 15th is when we open the cabins. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Cabin 4 doesn't get rented very much at all. The other 3 get rented on a fairly regular basis. So, and they go all the way to October 15th.
Okay.
So
I think we still.
The other thing I wanted to add in on that is
4 is one that we could probably hold off on, but you have to take the water up there
right.
Anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't make no difference.
The other item I wanted to bring up on that was I mentioned in our last board meeting about the possibility of creating some. Revenue by taking one cabin and trying out a run on a rent type deal to see if we can generate some more funds for the association.
Rent it for more than like
rent it out to the public.
Oh,
as long as it's kind of close to the ranch house where it can be watched over. I mean, it'd be a good source of revenue. And I think I voiced at that time that we would be able to, or we need to be able to take a pre-walkthrough with a tenant or a renter and an exit walkthrough with them real quick. But if we can get $500,000-$800,000 for a week in cabin rental.
Okay, but aren't we? We come back and can do this, and we keep going in the same circles. I've been along and on the we already do that. All those things have been discussed. If you, as a member, want to rent your time, rent it, you're responsible.
But there's Michael available.
Linda rents it every year. Linda, somebody gets dropped off at the county road and says, Paul, I need a cabin. We rent it, and the association keeps the money.
Okay. Do we want to advertise or any?
No.
Okay.
Because we've said with that comes all kinds of liability of the handicap accessible. Is there this and that? It has got out there before. I can tell you, I've served for 10 years on King County Travel Council. They know Deer Springs Ranch is there. So if there's some of the people in hotels that say, I want a real rustic thing, everybody in town says, hey, why don't you call Linda? She may have something about Deer Springs.
So we're done on this topic for now?
Okay.
Get John.
I don't know.
All right, so Luke, you move on this?
Yeah.
Okay. Jody, can you hear us about anything for your next legal and public safety?
Yeah, I can hear you a little bit. It's frozen it out.
I'll keep
it up.
Okay, that's good. Well, we're trying here. We're trying.
Legal public safety, A and D. Those did not come from me, so I'm not sure who wanted them on the agenda. And
I can approach that problem.
Discuss it because I don't know anything about them.
That was me.
That was Linda.
Okay.
Yeah.
Appendix number 4, as far as what Barry thinks about CC&Rs, he said that 18% should definitely be put in. It's not in the CC&Rs, but he also says that CC&Rs need a lot of other work, as they were formed decades ago and have only been minimally amended. For instance, the CC&Rs should include, to be amended, increased authority of the board, better define the uses of property, utilize in recently enacted statutes relating to the HOA, define the purpose of the fees, a better definition of the purpose of the fees, strengthen and better define the language allowing liens and other things. This came from Kimball Forbes, who I don't know if intern is the correct word, but he works with Barry, and they've been working on our foreclosures.
He's a licensed attorney.
Yeah, they're a licensed attorney, exactly. And that's just been helping us with our foreclosures. And these questions have come up as a result, just this last week, have come up as a result of the liens that we have taken action on. And they suggest that the CC&R be amended officially and legally to include these six things and more is what he said. They didn't go into other things, but what this is, the reason I put it on the agenda was because I felt that the board needed to be aware of this concern, that the CC&Rs need to be updated, but also so that you can take a good, strong look at the CC&Rs in one of our future board meetings, either in an executive meeting or in a regular meeting, and take a look and see what needs to be fixed on it. So that's why I added it to the agenda, and I did it under Jody's because it's legal.
Okay, so just for me, so I apologize. This was as a result of who calling the Elijah office?
The question of these things came up as a result of the liens that the law office is working on. Okay. No other reason. That just came up. They asked me where the 18% interest fee came from. I said it was there when I took over. I just kept it on there.
No.
And they looked at the, because they need to know for their legal proceedings, they looked at the CC&Rs and apparently didn't see where that was clarified on there. And some of these other things came up as a result of them looking at them. And I asked Kimball, well, what other things? So he listed them for me so that I could bring them to the board. That's how it came to be.
I agree, changes probably do.
Well, no, we know, everybody knows that we are not in compliance with state law in our current CC&R. We've been battling that forever. But does this agenda go to the general membership, or does this go to the board of directors?
The agenda part goes to the board of directors.
Right, because since this went out, I've taken a ton of heat with this first bullet point that somehow the board is in some scheming power grab to get more authority, and it's a runaway. I'm just telling you right now, and I'm going to be up front. Somebody on the board or whoever had this has circulated it. It's gone to dozens of people, and I've gotten replies and calls and dominated Bob Allen was on the conference call I hosted Thursday night for 4 hours, and this was one of the things, and whether it's true or not, I just want, the perception is that us as a board are trying to screw the members out of their authority. I think that, I personally said, I got emails saying, what's this 18%? I was on the board of directors when it was 10%. We said, really, that's not much of a motivation when back then anybody was paying more than that on their mortgage, you know. And we took it to what was kind of the normal standard at 18% at the time. And then the attorneys have always said, maybe that your CC&Rs need more things. You know, I answered them. I said, back as far as when Phil Hall was the president, they spent attorney fees and a lot of time to rewrite the CC&Rs. It didn't pass. There's several things we know, and there have been current legislation and state law comes out in the last year that make us more out of line, so we need to, you know, handle that. But I think that he meant my personal, right? I know, but the attorney, I believe, meant to increase the authority of the association to collect delinquent assessments.
Yeah.
But the way he worded it here, increase the authority of the board, not knowing what a touchy situation that is, I've had people personally threaten me, accuse me, that I've now had my brother as the attorney trying to get some way that we could steal the ranch from the members. And so this step is the same step that when it goes outside, I had never seen this before I started getting emails accusing me of being a part of this conspiracy. And so it's very delicate again.
How's it getting out? I mean,
they kind of sort back the same thing I asked earlier. There's 7 board members, and I'm happy for any one of them to fess up that it was them.
I haven't seen that. I'm disappointed.
Well, I answered back. I said, I don't know where. I'll go back. I was out of meetings. I missed October and November. Maybe.
No. This.
I don't know. No, I'm just telling you my response. Oh. So I went back and I dug through every email. I Googled my email, whatever, to search. I finally found it. Said, well, oh, and I answered that back. Said, that came out 2 days ago. I had never seen it. But it is going around with that suspicion. And so,
this is posted on the website.
Well, that's what I just asked. If it goes on the website now to the members. And I was told no, it didn't. It was only to the members of the board.
The agenda's on the website.
No, the agenda's always on the website.
Oh,
well,
they can with
the
meeting if they
want to
call in and
such. Well, an item on the agenda is something that we're going to be discussing in meeting. Well, an appendix, you know, some of those appendix then may not be appropriate, you know, to have topics.
It took me by surprise, too. Like, where'd this come from? Was this something I suggested to go on here because I didn't know anything about it? But I didn't care whether to put it under legal and my topic because it is legal. But, yeah, I didn't know where it came from either. But that's where it all goes on to the website.
Jody, have you been asked by members like I have as to what the heck is this?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
I've been asked.
Okay.
And I didn't know either. So I emailed Linda and said, hey, what is this? And where did it come from? And she told me what the 18% was and what she thought it was and where it came from. So I understood.
So before any board member had seen it or even been, you know, known anything about it, then part of the membership has already, you know, prejudged that this, and they tie in, well, this has something to do with the whole Dale Clarkson water development proposal of January, and that was the whole reason that Brayton's have resigned and moved from the ranch. I've had it.
Somebody should write a book, like a fiction book. It'd be a great book.
It'd be a reality show.
We got Discovery on the hook, right?
Yeah, I agree. We somehow or another need to visit with the attorneys in order to see what are we lacking and we need to move forward somewhere.
Well, we get a proposal back out is probably going to be our baseline.
Who?
Phil Hall.
That's what I'm saying. Does anybody have copies of what was done at least at that time?
We don't.
Okay. To know and
Phil's proposal? Why they never came to an agreement.
They spent $9,000 on track
two items that they didn't agree on.
Well,
but it was all agreeable.
What year was that?
Mark, you know, I would make an assignment if somebody would take it to bring a, at least a proposal or a draft of what has been the starting point, and then we can start sharing with these current issues and see if we've resolved them. And something we can propose to, I mean, I do not want to see it go beyond this next annual meeting that we get there at least. We talked about that all during the first president stuff. It's time that we are going to get in trouble if we don't start addressing some of these things.
Well, I can work with somebody on that if someone wants to work with me.
I have a copy of the process that Phil Hall did. We have copies of that. And we could just take a, make a committee and go through it and see what should be changed, and then what the attorneys think should be changed, that kind of thing, compare notes.
How about like an assignment without a committee, and that person can gather a couple of people together who wish to help and do that?
Remember, that cost, I don't know, that cost still a lot, whoever participated in that cost them a lot of money to put that together.
Dale said they lost $9,000 on wasting nothing. They're arguing over two stupid little points on the whole thing. So that's $9,000.
Well, obviously, they're not stupid little points. In summary, they're being arguments.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't...
Well, okay, oh, yes, I take that back. Sorry. I rescind that comment.
So you guys got a copy of it? Can you send me a copy of what you have? Jody, this is Ryan. Can you send me a copy of what you have on that so I can start looking at it?
She doesn't have anything.
Yeah, she says she has it. She has
send me the and, yeah, do it.
Actually, I have to send everybody a board copy.
Okay. So if somebody wants to work with me, because I won't be able to do it myself, due to personal life is full, but I'm willing to work with people on that.
So Ryan's going to take on the CCNR.
I'll have to have help. I'm just stating that. I cannot do it by myself.
And once it's out, I'd like to read it because I was not involved during those days to even see what the questions were. And then, like I said, there's current issues that have come up since then that weren't even addressed.
And to clarify, can you hear me, Jody?
Yes.
Okay, to clarify, appendix number 4 was given to me from Clarkson Draper. I posted it to bring it, I put it on the agenda to bring it to the board because they said that the CCNRs were not adequate and they were concerned about some of the points on the CCNRs in order to do foreclosures. This increase the authority of the board is to the increase the authority to be able to do foreclosures in an effective manner. That is what that means, not in any other form.
Maybe if I can make a suggestion on the next time we get a post like this, is we have a legal issue to talk about and post it that way.
Or maybe
before it gets out there and blows up, before we get
to the agenda. The agenda should be posted on the website with no agenda.
Yeah, some topic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I hear the board there, Candy? Yeah. Okay, back in 2004-2005, when I was the president of the board, we took approximately a year to go through all the rules and regulations. We had changed and modified, we had agreed and compromised on the entire packet. When it was presented, it had been gone through all of Phil Hall's information. Larry Walters and I and the rest of the board at that time actually did go through it. We were told at that time, until we had compromised, that it was not going to be adopted or accepted the way it was at that time. So we do have real information that when Phil Hall had actually done it, we used his with the original and as I say, came up with a compromise that was should have been nearly accepted and it was voted down.
It was put to a vote of the membership.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Well, he told me at that time he was not going to accept it at all.
Do
you know at that point, he
Andy, do you used to have a copy of that?
Let's see if we can start making some headway before the annual meeting comes up. Agreed? Well, the laws have all changed, as we've heard and we know. Lawyers nowadays have more time to play around and more information on the website.
It is further along than the paperwork or the pamphlet that was submitted by Phil. And Phil was part of this program as well.
Okay, thanks, Candy. Good to know.
To see what I have and see if we can get that to the board as well.
Okay.
Okay,
then
I'll
right.
See glad to help out with that, so
they can sign
me up for that one.
Okay,
there you go.
Then moving along.
Next
item. Okay, we got part
C. I would think so. Part A, I'm not really sure. Linda?
Jody. Part B. This was put on the, this is your, yeah, Dave Shirley's question.
Who is that?
Something?
Yeah,
that was Joe Jose. You get the new voices?
Well, Jill's on the phone.
Okay, do we have to repeat what he said, or do I go with the...
What do you say?
What do you say?
Go ahead and repeat that, Joe.
I just said that there was a vote, and it was just turned down, and it was not going to be carried under any condition.
Well, we'll look at them.
Okay. I don't know why you guys don't want to remember this. There was the Clarkson proposal, there was the Phil Hall proposal. The Phil Hall proposal won, but it didn't win by 2/3 majority. It won by 63% or something like that. I don't know. And we were following those bylaws that said, you know, major changes need to go with 2/3 majority of the membership, and it just barely failed.
Right.
So, and it wasn't that far above the Clarkson proposal.
There was 2 points, and I don't remember now what they were, but there was no.
Okay, we'll get that back out. Hopefully we've all grown up a little since then, and we will
agree. I agree.
Ryan's going to lead us through it, buddy.
All right, so...
So here's my question. When does a decision or motion by the board need to be voted on by all the association members? And the reason why I brought this up was because anytime there's a dissenting vote or feeling among some of the members, then they clamor for all members to they have to chime in on it, and it gets derailed, or it just whatever happens. So my question is, as a board, when do we have to have an idea to go to the members, and when can we just vote on it and go with it?
The bylaws are clear under the laws, but this has been brought up multiple times. Right now, the bylaws are clear. If we were to sell off major assets or indebt the association over, $30,000 amount, the membership needs to vote on it. Beyond that, their vote is for board members
and the board members have the authority and the responsibility to handle the rest of it. That's the current bylaws. That may be something that may need to be updated in the bylaws somehow, but I agree. I'm tired of getting nowhere because as soon as one person doesn't get their way, they cry foul, and all progress comes to screeching halt.
Okay. That's what I want to clarify.
Good. All right.
Let me look at when we redo the, when we look at the DCNR. It's my look. Go ahead, my look.
Okay, moving on then.
Okay, moving on. Number of concerns regarding the approval of the Middle Canyon Springs water system. The response received from the members concerning the January vote of approval on the resolution, you guys all know it's been very considerable. We've all seen the emails of protest. Now, I haven't seen any correspondence of approval. I know, Ben, you said you had some, but I have not seen them. But that being said, I would like to make a motion to the board to rescind the approval of that resolution, number one, to show respect to the membership and their wishes, and number two, to show a good faith effort towards working towards building a better plan to develop another Canyon Springs.
Anybody want to jump on that one?
Motion on the table.
Do you have that written down, okay? Then? I'm not sure where I'm going with your motion right now.
I have a comment.
Motion on the table.
I have a comment after the, because now's the point for a second, and I'm not seconding it. I'm just...
What? I'm a little bit lost on your motion.
You want to go into discussion?
And my motion is to ask the board to rescind the approval of the resolution that was made in January to show respect to the membership and their wishes and to show good faith toward working together for developing a better plan.
Okay, no board member is seconding it. For respect to the members who
sent
the... Hold on, Jody. For respect to the members who are here today, is there comment on that?
I want to fix the problem, but I don't necessarily... I've been kind of going back and forth on this. I'm not... I think a modification of the proposal needs to go into place. I don't necessarily think it needs to be rescinded.
Okay, let me talk. Then if I can explain. Because I was the idiot who took the bait. I was asked by members who were in favor of the motion of last month but would like to move forward in a little more clarified way. I have said from the beginning, from a year ago, this needs to have a written agreement. It needs to have more defined guidelines. But it's part of the process where we cannot determine. Those that say, I want to know what the fee is, that's like saying, that would be like the partners that created Deer Spring saying in 1970, what's the association fee going to be in 2012 for the association before the association was created? It's absolutely ludicrous. So, at the request of those that asked me, as their constituency or whatever, I wrote a one-page agreement to pin down what I thought had already been done. Ryan had asked some tough questions last meeting that Dale answered. And then we get all these emails that are prolificating stuff that is untrue. One and some that was on there was stuff that Vance Green was on the telephone conference last month. So when he writes email that says stuff that he heard, I know he heard, to be otherwise, I get frustrated. So I wrote that. I sent it to everyone that was involved, not just members, but association, or not just board members, but members of the board. I hosted the telephone conference on Thursday night. I asked Jody specifically. Jody specifically answered, said she would not, that she already had made up her mind and would not participate in that telephone conference. Bob Allen was on there. I got a call from Dan Wirt at 5 o'clock. The conference was at 6 o'clock. And I said, I need to print the emails. I want to highlight. I want to answer the questions that had been legitimately raised. I could not get Dan off the phone until after 6 o'clock. And so I finally hung up, got on the conference call unprepared and late, and spent 3 more hours on the conference call, only to have most of it dominated by Dan Venom and accusations that all of us are idiots, including Jody and Vance Green and Dale and I, who had met back in September as a water committee trying to hammer through this. And so I have been threatened that if we do not rescind it, that, you know, all hell will break loose. And I tried at that time to say, I'm looking for improvements or additions that need to be to that letter of agreement. If the board and the association chooses to spend attorney fees and have that written into a 4-page or 7-page agreement with all the legalese, I'm not opposed to that whatsoever. I was trying to put something that then does lock in all of our memories and answer some of the questions and the accusations that have been falsely set out there. That being said, it didn't go anywhere, and now, like I said on record, I regret even spending the time because it only got my neck on the chopping block. And so I will, fair warning for anybody that's willing to try to help the process, there are those that will only destroy your happiness and feeling of you ever wanting to help again.
I just got, and I know I've made a comment on this water before about the usage and how we need to secure down the water use records as per the engineers for the state of Utah. I got it in my truck. I forgot to bring it just now. I just got in my letter or my mail 2 days ago for my Cedar City property, a letter from the state engineer of the water state engineer stated that if I didn't prove where all my water was going to my water right in Cedar City, that it is option to be taken from me. That I have to show how much I'm watering with it, how much I'm doing this and that with it, and the comments that have been made that the water's there, it'll always be there, it'll come up and go back into the ground, is a false statement, because I got proof in my truck right now as it says.
And I lost water because I didn't use it.
Exactly.
It's simple. It's not...
Water's our biggest asset on the ranch, and we need it for that upper system. And I feel, and still always been my vote to get Dale to get started with this project. If we're not moving on it, the state of Nevada is pulling in all the sorts of water from Utah right now, and they're looking for it, and they will pull it. Go ahead.
I have a comment on that.
Hold on, Joe. We got a comment.
Mike and Ronald, and I have not been following this very closely. I've been pretty overwhelmed by a lot of what goes through, as you said. But I've been in business a long time, over 40 years, and my only comment is I think it probably needs to be done, first of all. But we need to do it right. We need to document it before we put a spade in the ground. You know, the faintest ink is better than the sharpest memory. And we're all moving in and off this board and so forth.
But no,
hold on, may I finish?
Yes.
So I'm only suggesting that we do it right. We do whatever the law requires, whatever the county requires, protect the asset, develop the asset. But let's have all of our ducks in order. Let's cross our T's and dot our I's, and let's do it quick so we can get moving. Let's not delay it for...
Did you read my letter of agreement?
No. I didn't get it.
Okay, well, and I'll apologize because I have not hired my secretary for more hours to do that. I've been copy and pasting and replying to those that are in some of these emails that are built, and Dan Wood was one that was written last because I didn't send it to him, but he wasn't on there. I haven't corresponded with him in 15 years. I don't have an email, and so somehow he didn't get the invitation to the conference call. So, again, I didn't send it to 300 members. I kind of sent it to those that were in it. So, but I'm happy to get you a copy. And again, I'm not willing to even take responsibility for it now, as legally threatened as I've been. But that's the comment of the faintest ink is better than the sharpest memory is the kind of approach I was taking. That look, let's quit rehashing the same thing. Let's at least work on something and move ahead with an agreement that when we have that more information, that we will. Put it in writing and build upon it with the legal clarification in there that is reiterated several times that the DSROA membership and the board of directors retain 100% authority to stop that project at any time if it's deemed that the Clarkson Investments, who made the proposal, was either in non-compliance with the state of Utah or started doing something that was not acceptable to or damaging to the assets of the ranch.
A couple comments. Every email I've read, I think, is not judging whether or not the project should go forward as a project.
Correct. Everybody agrees it needs to happen.
No, it doesn't.
Not everybody.
No, but anybody. Jody has gone on record, and she just restated right there that she has only heard of people opposed to this, and she's never heard, and I, in an email correspondence, said, I have had many people who have talked to me that are in favor of it, but they have not chimed in on these emails for fear of being lynched by the Dale Clarkson heaviers, is the way I worded it. Jody just said on this call, people who voiced for it, and she's never heard of any of them. So if anybody is for it, chime in for Jody's benefit, because she's under the understanding that 100% are opposed to it, and nobody is for it other than us board members.
And
to clarify that, from what I'm saying, we're not opposed to the development of the spring.
You
backing up what Mike just said, it's the planning and documentation of it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yes, I can welcome any emails sent to me in support of it, so we can try to work towards building that plan. And it's not that I am not working with UPenn or the group and not wanting to attend that meeting. I was at work. I could not attend that meeting.
Jody, that's not at all what you told me. You said you were unwilling to, and I want to make a note. Okay.
I stood firm on my position, and you already knew what that was. But no, and in fact, in a letter of agreement, it was just so vague that it...
That it drew criticism and hatred towards me for trying.
Well, we all agree to keep moving forward. So.
Yeah.
How is your proposal, your contract, the one that you have written? How is that moving forward? Or are you scrapping the whole project?
I'm here to serve the members that talk to me. But I, just for the record, email is not the only way to communicate with me. And those people that I encourage them, when they call me or visit with me, local members that I see around Kanab, and they say, what's going on, this, what, and I think I say, please send me an email. But if they will not follow up so that I can forward it to Jody, doesn't mean that their opinion does not hold weight in my opinion when I form my votes.
Well, again, just like to wrap up and get out of your hair here. My sense is that there's broad support for this.
I think there is.
Okay, and the emails and the board and those who aren't emailing and so forth. Everybody's just clamoring to do it right. To have a document drawn, not by this good man right here. He's not a lawyer. He doesn't want liability in drawing a document that...
But let me ask you the same question, because I've already been through this on conference call, and... Do you know, Mike, any lawyer that I can call and say, write that up,
Well, no, they need to have submitted.
No, they needed a one-page, here's the bullet point.
Right,
okay?
Exactly.
So I wrote this up.
Perfect.
I asked for members' input. I got one or two. I hosted a four-hour conference call to discuss through it. And the entire thing was, and most of the comments are, you dirty son of a gun for even writing something up.
Well, we got
to... Because this is so evil, you should have never supported it to begin with.
Well...
one comment.
Yeah.
Let me make a comment. Mike started this aggravation that we've been through now for a year, you and your wife. I would suggest that the first thing we need to know is how much water is even there. And I would think that Duvall should write out a check for the $3,400 so that the basic volume of water can be determined, because that's got to happen before anything else does. And if they want that in writing to begin with, they should in fact be ready to pay for it. So
Dale, don't play this game with me ever.
Yeah,
I don't play it with you. You don't play with me.
That's
There's
right.
no integrity in it.
That's right.
Whatsoever.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't want to say anymore.
Yeah.
I'm being positive. You heard the words I just said. And they were in your behalf.
I think he is trying to be positive right now.
The basic information that has to be discovered prior to this $5,000 contract. And that's all we're doing, is trying to develop that information, get it measured. There are certain facts that have to go. This attorney cannot just say, oh, write something up. There's got to be basic information that nobody in this room has today to allow us to write a definitive contract.
Agreed.
A contract can be written. I just got to anybody. I want to see a contract written. But to hire two staff, a contract needs to, the facts need to be on the table.
That's a good thing you said.
No.
I'm
for it.
Mark, I got a question.
And you make more information known, write these things down. I think we can take this a long way before any attorney has to look for it. Look at it,
but
we have to do it the right way
first. Okay, Jody, let me ask you, did you read my letter of agreement?
Of course.
Is that a start?
It's a very rough draft start, but it could
be a start. Is it a start? There's still criticism because it's not a good enough start. Is it a start?
Anything is a start, Matt. Anything is a good start, but we
okay.
need to build on it before we approve it and move forward.
That's why I asked for you and the board and members' input and the help of the conference call so that there would have been time to have done that so it could have been voted on or some progress made today. That was canceled out.
It's been done that fast, Matt.
What? It can be done that fast with the fact that the board has the right to go ahead and shut the thing down or not. Like I presented those, I said it's either we approve what I had or we stay where we were with the previous vote. I thought where we were was definitely moving in the right direction. Dave?
Couple of things. Speaker phones only work one way.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Man, I would like to make
hold on a second, Dan. Hold on a second, Dan. Dave's got the floor right now.
By saying it needs to be done correctly and repeating that over and over again, by saying this process needs to be done correctly, you're insinuating that it's not being done.
No, I'm not. Don't take it that way. I don't mean it that way.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Okay. So that was my point.
Okay.
If this isn't a start, what is it?
Yeah, when are we going to start is what we need to say. I think we have made progress, and we are wanting to start. And I think it's important that we do start this project, and I think it needs to be got off the ground right away. Go ahead, Dan. Dan, you have the floor.
I would just like to make a brief, hopefully uninterrupted comment here. Ben, I really take exception to your characterization of me in our conversation last Thursday. I think you are not accurate. It's unfair and it's not accurate. And specifically, I very much appreciate the input of Brent Fulmer, Vance Green, and Joni Akers in the last year, especially with regard to these water issues. In fact, I've been following this very, very closely. I listen to the audio of every meeting. I read the minutes every meeting. And they have adequately represented me, and that's why I've stayed in the background. So I appreciate their efforts.
But not mine in those same meetings.
I've just got 30 more seconds here, and then I'll quit. And I won't interrupt again. Okay?
Go ahead.
About a year ago, there was this Dale Clarkson's resolution was adopted and then quickly descended, and that was very wise to do so because it is grossly inadequate. It's dangerous. It does not protect you. It would not be an exercise of due diligence on the part of the board to protect the fiduciary interests of the membership. It's now been readopted, and it's still unacceptable. The board could have done things differently to move a good water project along over the past year, but it has not done so. It should be a stepwise, progressive, logical, open, transparent process done with this accepted business practice, which means an initial good engineering study, a competitive bidding process by contractors.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and cut in right now. I'm going to go ahead and cut in because that's well over the 30 seconds, but you're getting into stuff here where you want to know competitive pricing from contractors and stuff. Since when have you missed the boat on this? The Dell's willing to fund and start this whole project without this whole bidding process so forth. We have been making progress. We have been wanting to move forward, but we're getting nothing but problems and conflicts from some of the people out there in the association.
Hey, Mark, my issue about that,
Mark, what is not defined here is the basic tenets of contract, which is what the association gets and what its responsibilities are, what Dale Clarkson gets and what his responsibilities are, the dates, the times. None of this has been contractually established.
I think Ben has been working on that, and I think he's making good progress on that. And like we've stated all along, the board will have the responsibility of monitoring what's going on, and we'll be able to control what Dale Clarkson does.
I'm sorry, that's not
sufficient. Okay, let me go on record, Dan, while you're here, and for the board of directors and the members that are listening. On that conference call, and Bob Allen here as a witness, you offered and committed to put together such said contract to have to me before this meeting so that we could discuss it here today. I have not seen that.
No, I did not, because it was contingent.
Did he commit to it? Not.
Let record show that Bob Allen did agree that that was comments made.
Conference call, and it was contingent on starting sending this resolution and starting over.
Okay. You know, okay. I do. I'm not trying to lie, Dan. Let me clarify for everybody. I want this open. I was told on the conference call. And have been told since, just what we did a year ago. I was on the board last year. We voted for this. I mean, it passed. Not everyone voted for it. And then the next meeting, we voted, and I voted to rescind it, thinking that it would go to this water committee, that this was going to be thought through and all these dotted I's and cross T's and these things put together. Here we are a year later, and that has failed, mainly due to personalities and egos that are unwilling to work with each other. And so I start, Dan, let me finish. Dan, let me finish.
Dan, you know the phone.
Thanks for his input.
No, let's finish. No, but I want him to know. Let me finish. And so, in starting that, I voted for it. I am on the record here, and I told them then. I will propose and open up any contract, and I am happy to push that for DSROA, for the Board of Directors, and for Clarkson Investments to have something that would laterally take us from where we are now to where we should be moving forward. The demand is that we first, they will not talk, there is no negotiation unless we kill the current motion first. That's what Dan is referring to as this reset. And I said, I will not vote to rescind it. I will tell you up front, I don't care what the other six do. I will not vote to just kill it and then go and backtrack and then start all over. And when I said that, then Dan said he would then at that point.
Try and do this in the proper manner, but you're
Dan, that your proper manner is your opinion.
The current resolution has to be rescinded just like it was.
No, the current proposal can be amended. It does not need to be rescinded.
We appreciate your input on that, and we are going to move forward on this issue.
Your process is fatally flawed. I'm sorry.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion.
True. This is 4 hours.
Okay. Dan, your 30 seconds you asked for uninterrupted time is gone well over.
Keep talking. I'm turning off my cell phone.
It is so abundantly clear. It is really abundantly clear.
Yes.
And you really misrepresented me and the other members who have objected to this process. You seem to object whether I participate or don't.
I've been very patient, extremely reserved for an entire year.
Well, you have the right to turn that phone off if you'd like.
It's because
I'm not going to be the only one who stands up here, folks.
I'm with you 100%.
This is rehashing the same thing.
This is old, and if you cease to stop, as the president, I'm going to ask you to cease to stop anymore right now. Failure to do so will result in this phone being turned off during this meeting. Do I make myself clear?
Well, I've had my say.
Thank you.
Okay,
you've had your say. Thank you. Moving on. Thank you. Moving on. Okay, next item we're going to talk about.
Here we go. My number two?
Yes, Joni. That's where I was moving, Joni. I was moving right on the number two. Thank you.
No, there's a motion before the vote.
Oh, hold on.
It died because of no second.
Pardon?
Yes. We made a motion. It died because
The motion died. No one replied. Okay, moving on to number two. Yes, Joni, go ahead.
Concerned about civilian association and land. Again, in response from the membership concerning to build that civilian association land, I've seen more protests than approval. I would like to make a motion to the board to rescind that approval given to build that civilian association land.
I think there have been others. I don't think you've got all the emails, I'm sure. Has anybody else got any emails?
I've got it.
I think there was no motion to build the pavilion on that land. I think there was a motion to set aside that 20-acre parcel for recreational purposes and a parking lot.
Which would include, could include.
It could include.
It could include.
And it was passed. Everybody voted for it.
Minutes.
Right here. I stand corrected, Dale. This is for the civilian resolution pertaining to the acreage.
That's all.
Regardless, her motion is either going to pass or fail. Now, but I want to work through this stuff. I mean, I want people to. You can fess up or on that.
No. Go. Go ahead.
She'd ask for motion.
The motion you are presenting right now, Jody, was what?
Motion for the board to extend approval of using the 20-acre association land to approve for 39.
Okay, does it say that in the minutes? Where is the motion? Somebody?
I think it's on like page 1, 2, 3, 5 at the bottom.
I want me to read it to you?
Yes.
Okay, here's Green Grand Pavilion Resolution. It is proposed that the 20-acre area north of the Red Reservoir at Deer's Green Grand be set aside as a recreational center, parking area, and pavilion location for group gatherings at the ranch. This was approved by the board. Except
for Jody and Ryan abstained.
I'd like the motion to rescind that approval.
I still my feelings still stand strong that I want to see that progress move forward. Does anybody want to second her motion to rescind that?
First, somebody
has
to first.
No one's going to ask. Does anybody want to? You are motioning to rescind that, right, Jody?
Correct.
Okay, she's made the motion to rescind it. Does anybody wish to second that her motion to rescind it? Vote on it. Anybody opposed to? Anybody in favor of?
You can't vote on something. It's not seconded.
Oh, as I said, it wasn't seconded. Yeah. Okay. Drop due to lack of. Lack of support.
Lack of second.
Moving on.
Okay, moving on.
The votes were dropped for lack of second. I stepped out for a moment.
Yes. Okay, moving on. We're going to go to Ranch Communications, Ryan.
Nothing new. Internet was touched on the internet item that Dale brought up last.
Oh, there is something new.
What's that?
Maybe you don't know about that.
Maybe.
There's AT&T telephone at the ranch.
I heard.
Wireless.
Okay.
So if you can have...
I don't know who's owned it. I didn't know about it through the board, so I didn't know we owned it.
We will own it shortly.
Okay. Because I don't...
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was private or if that was ours. So I guess...
So that's something that all the device systems can tap into?
AT&T. They can call wireless at the ranch.
Yeah. If they have an AT&T phone and they're bound to the ranch house, they'll be able to not... They can just... Die.
They got bars.
Yeah.
You got bars at the ranch house.
So it's just like with any of my phone, you pick up on everybody else's circuit, you piggyback on?
Yeah.
No, okay, I don't know what they have.
That's the simplistic way to define it.
Yeah. Yeah. But other than that, I don't have anything else.
Okay.
Did you send off that FCC bill?
No.
Okay. I'll ask you next month again.
Yes.
Yeah, we got that bill for the frequency license. Yeah, okay, it's January. I've been asking each month. You forget to bring it in.
All right. Well, that's the last item then on the... You think my... that, Ryan, that was the last item we have right here on the agenda. So I'm going to motion we adjourn this meeting and take a quick break before going to an executive session.
No, you can't.
We're going to talk about the hires.
Mm-hmm.
The public portion, then go to the executive and talk about the private motions.
We need to solve this water thing, and I'm going to help.
Right. We just need
to get it solved, and I'll keep clear left.
Okay. 10-minute break. We'll be back.
Can we take a 15-minute? We're going to go on 15-minute break, guys.
Okay, then take a break.
Yeah.
Back at 10.
Everybody can stretch your legs.
Back at 10.
All right, we're going to get this meeting wrapped back online. We want to wrap up with
Jody.
Jody, are you there? Hello?
Do we need to call back in? Is that
I think your phone died. You got a little.
Oh, there she is. Okay. All right, we got Brett wants to take a minute before we wrap up this thing to go to executive. A couple of comments still need to be or want to be posted here real quick. Thanks for being quick and getting right back here to up from the break. Brent, want to give you a minute?
This won't take long.
Right.
I've gone blind reading everything that needs to be read in the last couple of weeks. And I went and got a copy of this Division of Drinking Water Checklist for the development of public drinking water springs. And I'm going to try to go back to my original thing, which was a plan and a contract. I think that we have put the cart before the horse. I'm not asking anyone to rescind the proposal. I think the proposal needs to be in such a way that when you use this checklist, and I'm going to read it real quickly to everyone, that certain things are... how you say it, in order before the proposal, even, you know, before we can say a blanket proposal to begin, all right?
Where's the checklist from?
It's from the Division of Drinking Water.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyway, here's what it is. There's two items, and there's several items underneath each of these. And it goes approval to develop the spring. Now, these are all state requirements. This is not anything else. Okay, it needs a project notification form. And Dale, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. I know you've done all this before. I just don't know if any of this paperwork's been filed yet. Okay. Project notification form. Preliminary evaluation report concurrence. Spring location data. Documentation of valid water rights. An engineer geologist statement indicating the historical record of the spring flow, expected minimum flow at the time of the year when it will occur, expected maximum flow at the time of the year will occur, expected average flow, the behavior of the spring during drought conditions, new source chemical analysis of the spring, an assessment of whether the spring is under the direct influence of surface water, and a detailed plan and specifications for spring development or redevelopment. These all need to go in place before anything even starts.
Okay. Dale Clarkson and Clark Investments does not have the authority to fill out that paperwork without the proposal that we voted on last meeting. Now with that proposal and what was voted on, now they are authorized and need to go through this process.
Okay, and then from that point, then you don't need to even modify it. Okay?
All right.
So the second point, and the second thing on this is operating permits to use the spring water.
design engineer statements of conformance with plan approval conditions, design engineer certification of rule conformance for any deviation from the approved plan, the information on the rate of flow developed from the spring, as-built drawings, recorded land use agreements or documentation requires for coverage under city, county, source protection ordinance have been met, proof of satisfaction of bacteriological quality and water quality data where appropriate. Okay, you've more or less answered my question. Here's my proposal. Okay, if we start moving forward with this, and I have been an advocate of this right from the beginning, as long as everything is in order, then when you guys, when this process starts, and I'm assuming it's going to start now, because the proposal is there, and all this paperwork can get started, then as long as I think the board is kept up to date on this, and those things that are pertinent for the membership are posted on the website, then we, you know, start moving forward on this. Okay?
This is what I put in the draft that I sent out. Okay? It is understood that it is all aspects of this water project will be designed and installed with the knowledge, approval, and inspection of the Utah Division of Drinking Water and the Division of Water Rights. Any and all applications, updates are done by Dale in a manner as to protect the assets of DSROA. Later on in the DSRA may at any time order a cease and desist if the above regulatory bodies either red tag or deem the project to be in violation of their regulation without resolution for 90 days. Now, if they red tag it, I don't even care that we say, okay, you're out of here. If something is missed and overseen, they have 90 days to get that, make them happy. In both of these processes, I know what the Division of Drinking Water in Utah State requires. I know what King County Building Department would provide on the pavilion, that being another thing, the location-wise. But if they are happy, I think we're protected, and I'm happy. I see no interest in laying a lot of regulation up and above what my tax dollars is already buying.
And I am not proposing.
Right, no. I just want to clarify, because people keep an email saying, well, somehow if this is going to be done under the radar or on some black market project, that's not what...
People don't know that. What you guys have said on.
But that's why I said...
I send this letter to go away.
Yes.
That's what you just said.
And this is what is unacceptable and not good enough to even start.
I think it isn't
good enough to get started.
Well, here, and let's go back to one other point. If there's anyone who is responsible for this agreement, it's me. Tell them the truth, Ken.
I want it for the record. The reason I wrote that, Brett Fulmer resigned from the board of directors nearly a year ago based on the board approving Dale's proposal. For one reason, and he continually said, I am for the project, I'm against it going forward without at least something in writing to review the parameters. I think I've used your word in the email, but this is private, but since Brenda allowed me to, he said a rudimentary contract. I started with rudimentary, but Brent, you weren't the only one, but you were the one that initiated it, and I was asked as a board member by Brent Fulmer as a member to write something up and see if it wouldn't be something that Dale would agree to. I replied back to Brent and I said, Brent, Dale's in Mexico. I will write it up. I will not send it out until, in fairness to him, he has a chance to look at it. I had him look at it. He corrected a few typos and I changed those. I sent it to everybody and welcomed the conference call, thinking that was a way of the transparency, laying it out there. Anyone can the question I said was, then does the membership want this as a whole, as a project, and think it's good, and under this would authorize the board to vote to authorize Mark Pam to sign it and move forward? And that's what the last 72 hours then, my life has been
turned upside down.
The main reason I didn't chime in on that conference call is because I thought that was to answer any questions or problems. I was bored at that point. So.
And I don't, because most every question that's on there are things that have been discussed in board meetings, water committee meetings the last year. But there are many uninformed members that keep bringing these up, and so I keep saying, we already went over that. When they send an email and say, well, you know, if they're going to try to build this pavilion, and then, you know, what size is it? And hey, we have a dimension drawing. Some of that, and by the way, Dad, if you'll provide that, that did not get on the website, and something that Van Screen and the conference call asked, because members should see that, the drafted copy. There was a hand-drawn copy that went out, but the drafted copy, but it was clear. Ryan Dedenski and I clarified that it is not in the pine grove. We are not cutting down any pine trees. This was easy of it. And then to a great idea that Mike Duvall emailed about was to add a parking area there for people to unload horses. Somewhere at the upper end. And we determined it would be better inside this fenced off one there where we could keep the cattle out so the horses could unload right into the forage water. We said that's a logical place to use that same gravel parking lot for the pavilion. That was all needed. So I see dozens of emails asking these questions that were already answered. So I said, let's put some of this down and get it out to the membership. And as soon as I did that, the two or three that are absolutely against it at any process continue to then cry foul that this is illegal and nobody should be allowed to do this unless we have their permission. But they often also right up front say, you'll never have my permission.
And anyway, just and that's clear. And Ben, you were accurate in your reporting. I am not opposed to this agreement. Okay, and that's important. I didn't chime in on the phone call because my phone broke. And to be honest with you, I couldn't spend 3 hours on the phone. I'd have had to bow out after about 20 minutes. the thing for me is this.
Bless you, Ben, for person.
The thing for me is this. Let's move ahead with the protections in place. I'm going to be there all the time. I mean, if it looks hinky to me, you guys will know it.
I think
that's what we want.
This is Mike's comment.
You know, Greg?
Yeah. just a thought. This is Mike Duvall. It's becoming clear to me, and boy, I could be wrong on this, but it seems like if we had some communication going out to the membership, other than expecting people to go to the website, because they're just flat not going to do it. But why couldn't we, when something like all of this is coming up, just say, you know, we want to talk to all of you. This is what we're talking about. This is the project. These are the benefits. We don't need to go into detail. We'll make sure that the detail's covered. And I know what you're going to say. But we can't let a few who, for whatever reason, put us all into the cake.
I agree. And the reason I smile, Mike, when we say we, I'm talking to you board members, because the board of directors hold no credibility with several of these individuals. And so it needs to come from a Mike Duvall, a Brent Fulmer, a past president Larry Baer, a Robert Allen, a Fred Searle, that are all pillars of Deer Springs as members that have served their time and been involved and are educated. I was of that opinion, and I am happy to go back to that. However, I decided this week, every time I answer 4 questions, 24 show up. And I answer those 24, and then 86 show up. And that's where I've been. And so I'm not opposed to it. I'm just saying, Ben Clark, I'm going to ask people who ask me a question, and I get the feeling they want to know the answer, I'm going to answer it. If it's a feeling that they want to know an answer so that they can find an objection to it, I'm going to just say, talk to somebody else on the board.
Well, maybe what you can do is to have a private mic that works a little bit, is to say, if you have any questions, submit them via Linda to the board. We'll evaluate them, and the ones that have the highest level of credibility, we'll take up with the board.
And that's what I did out of the 3-hour phone call with Dan was going to write something for the board today, and that's why I wanted on record. I don't see it here so that I could present it. I committed to do that.
And my point is, if the membership gets communicated with, I don't know if I ever remember receiving any kind of an email like I'm describing since we bought the property. But I just learned you probably all have communication can cure a lot of ills.
And communication can kill a lot of birds.
That's right. But that's why I suggested, if you put a blanket like that Dale's project, there's an awful lot of good reasons that should go forward. And I think 95% of the people probably know that, but they don't understand it. I don't understand it. Maybe just without a lot of detail, simple, this is the benefit to the ranch. This is how we're going to prove up our water, some loss, you know, on and on and on. Or the pavilion thing, anyway.
I think it's a great idea. We're struggling to cover a minute. Is there a board member or any member that is kind of has the ability to, you know, write and at least put out the facts from a, you know, that way? I don't know. Linda?
That was my effort. I took that on because I've been a member of the ranch for many years. 20 years. What?
We're a girl.
Anyway, we won't go there.
You're still a girl.
My big thing was communications. It always has been and it will continue to be. And that's why I started the newsletter in 2007. Was so that there would be a forum. I've gathered emails and I've sent it out as much as I can. I got slammed down last December and decided not to do that anymore and handed it over to Nancy to do the newsletters. But that's what the newsletters are for, to get this communication out. I would be glad to field questions on the email and send them to the board, make sure that no more appendixes go into the system. I only did that because it happened this last few days. I will be glad to put any of this into a newsletter. Vance has worked beautifully with us to put things out to the, on a nice newsletter so that people can read them and have this information. I think communication is the key. I hope we can make... when I look up that canyon at Deer Springs, I see Happy Valley. I want it to be Happy Valley. Seriously, that's what comes to my mind when I go on the top and look down over that valley. It should be Happy Valley, and it needs to be. All this contention and all of this negativity is what is scaring people away. Who would want to be out there with this going on? You know, so and that's what I wanted those newsletters to do, is to bring information. Well, good information mostly.
When are we due for our next one? We were trying to do them quarterly. And with
January.
Okay. Well, you know, we've kind of missed that. But we've got to do one with the whole turnover.
We can do one every other week if you want. I can send it out every other week. That's not the problem. I need communication.
There's me first, so I can spice it up a little bit.
Brent has in the past, and that's wonderful.
Here's what I see from Brent and other members that are here present now. I think there has been great forward movement with what Ben has produced. I think the way I understand it here, he's presented it to Dale. Dale accepted it, made a couple small corrections. Brent, as one of the lot members, has also looked at it. And Fred, I think you guys just looked at it over together. I think that it sounds to me like we have an approval to go. I would like to make a motion that we accept this resolution. We follow underneath the guidelines that have been posted and brought forward by Brent, and to constantly allow the update will be presented to the board at our meetings as to how we are moving forward and for our review for the members' protection and for the board's protection as well. I make a motion. We get this thing off the table. Get forward motion.
What? We should read it.
Well, no. Let me just, my two cents. I think abiding by what, at least that got in writing, whether it's to my credit or my detriment, until we can get them, I don't believe that it is in signable form. I never sold it as a final draft. I put it out there. I don't feel comfortable even as myself as a board of director voting to authorize you as president to sign it for DSRA or Dale to sign it as Parks and Properties. But I do think it does have some parameters and some limitations that is in all of our best interest.
I think
the next 30 days until we meet again, we have still our biggest priority of this entire meeting is to deal with our management thing, but that's why I asked Mike, because I know some of these members came to help with that process we need to get on with. I think that, you know, if Dale's happy to agree, but I think he already has agreed to abide by these, so that as members and board, when people bring up and say, now you're running away with the ranch and stealing my land and the accusation that Dale's promised to build something because in exchange for land, He is not getting anything out of this.
No.
But he could not even be authorized to fill out these paperwork without the board's approval. And so that was the first step. The thing is not going to run away. We will talk about this every meeting the next year.
This will be constant.
I think in theory, on a gentleman's agreement and in the betterment of our authority and our responsibility to protect the rights, we move forward the next 30 days. I'm happy for anybody to add to that, and I would love to see it go to a signable form. There's a debate whether that's got to be prepared by an attorney or a committee says, hey, we're happy and we know in plain lay English what this means and what we're comfortable.
I have a comment. I don't know where it places in all this, but I only have one question for Dale and something that I think maybe should be part of our monthly talks about the water. I know from attending the board meetings you're quiet until you're ready to say something, then it's on, which is good, but I think as a board we should have the right to ask you what your 30, 60 day objective is, even at the beginning. Well, I'm calling this week to schedule blah, blah. I think you should be divulging that to us too. Not, well, I have this done. I would like to know your 30, 60, or anything that you do know ahead of schedule so we can go, okay, so we're expecting this to happen then. I'd rather know some of the stuff, and I know you don't know everything, but if you set an appointment with Utah for something, just, you know, tell us, shoot an email or at the board meeting, maybe before they happen, so we can see that things are going down the checklist, got one thing got missed or something like that, so we can kind of follow before it actually happens. That's all I ask.
Well, there's a comment to that. Yes, I've got copies of this thing that Brent has. We've gone through it for the last 15 years. I knew that these requirements were there, and that's the reason that I worded the resolution like it was. So this is no surprise. If members in Timbuktu don't know that that document, that the Division of Water Rights and Drinking Water, they've been in place for many, many years. They've stood up legally for 50 years. We don't need to tell them how to orchestrate something. I know that, and we'll do the best we can to meet their requirements, or we don't get approval.
Right.
I'm ready to go.
Well, like I said, but my question to you was that we can ask you and you can offer information before it happens. If you're scheduling something, I just ask that you tell us, or we can ask you what's in the sites for the next 30, 60 days.
Okay, I can tell you nothing is in sites.
I'm not asking right now, but through this whole process.
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Okay.
Dale agrees to update the GSRA board in monthly meetings and update the membership and ask and answer questions at the regular annual meeting. I like to see it. It's something that we have the authority in a monthly meeting to demand to know where he's at, and he will provide that kind of rolling and build trust and when we follow through.
Yes.
But the membership needs to go through the board, except for annual meetings, I'm fine to throw it open and everything. But that's in this agreement. He has.
Well, you're right. It does say that he has to update us, but I'm looking for a specific. I want to be able to ask him stuff that he...
Well, that's why it says to ask questions and have him answer.
That's it. It's all
he has. From an engineer, if you can tell me when the snow is going to melt and when we go on the spring and when the...
Right. I'm not looking for that kind of answer. I'm just saying...
But true. The next step is, I mean, whether this goes or not, under the authority where we are,
yeah,
the 30th, the T-Bow Engineering bid for $2,800 is the next step, is to schedule them as soon as it's dry enough to get up there and start surveying and, you know, looking at... On-site.
Yeah, that's what I need to know.
And those are the things that Ryan
does. I don't know anything. I buy a house around the faucet. It's got water, man.
Yeah.
I've given you a copy of the...
We're not reading anything. Let's go back to this. I dumped this online and you figure out. No. You are the knowledgeable one and you know this process. You are patiently going to educate and help the board follow that process.
There you go.
Yeah, that's very nice. Good word. That's all. That's all.
Okay. Well, I made a motion to go ahead and accept this and get started. Anyway, I'd like to second that motion.
I got a shovel.
Second, yes.
I'll second.
Ryan seconded.
Hold on. I need a more specific motion, not accept.
It was a motion to start the process on the water at Meadow Canyon.
Okay.
And that's...
It was to start the process. There's a long process in Hittadale.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if that's anything beyond where we were last month.
Okay.
As preliminary, and what we're spending all this time on, I would move that we authorize, as a board, Mark Cram to sign this tentative, simple contract to indicate that we are ready to move forward.
We need to vote on this first.
There is no contract.
No, there's just the tentative.
And that's why I will vote against it. The union passes. I will vote against it. This is, I don't,
because you wrote it.
But, well, I say to in theory make a motion that we are all agreeing to do this without signing it, and we're going to perfect this a little bit the next month. Well, I've been educated by many points of view of the flaws that this is, and I, like I said in my email, this is not a finished product. It's pretty close, but. You know, my thing was, you know, these subjective words of it's not proper or it's not good enough. Like I said, you show me the best contract, and I can show you attorneys that will charge higher rates.
Yeah, I don't think there's an attorney that specializes in this, is there?
You know, there he is.
No.
But not this process. I mean, the water law, it's the interval at Deer Springs that makes Deer Springs members have. The only attorney that is familiar with Deer Springs is Barry Clarkson's firm. But I've already been criticized this last week because they tried to help with the assessment issue, and that's something that maybe somehow I donated him my kidney so that I could get him to manipulate stuff at Deer Springs, is what I've been accused of.
What's that? Where we need to go from here to make that kind of an agreement binding so that we can move forward.
Even the
fifth year. Go to legal is what he asked.
A temporary binding contract.
For me, I'm no attorney, and I can't speak for the rest of the membership. I'm a handshake kind of guy. What I think ought to be done is I think that this, you know, I have no problem with Barry looking it over. You know, Barry, it's not in Barry's interest to do anything. Really illegal. I think we take this agreement as it's written, get the necessary legalese written in, and then get some signatures on it.
The agreement from before, the agreement that Ben just did.
Okay. In that.
Yeah, no, he is referring, just clear, as the letter of agreement that
just
I wrote.
The letter of agreement. Just a thought. I'd go along with both these gentlemen, but why not make a motion to allow Dale to start to do some of the things that are on this checklist prior to having a legally reviewed contract. But his feet aren't stuck in the mud. But then you guys can whoever can.
And we can talk to
that them. Resolution was voted on in January.
That resolution in January still stands.
Well, then you got it.
Yeah.
But you might need a new resolution that I'm not a board member. But
you know, I think that the intent is good on that. I think that, you know, I'm really pretty convinced right now that
I think that during that resolution there was a lot of questions that have been now solved and answered with stuff that you've now prepared. I think there's a lot of open questions, and I think we have the intent and direction now focused.
Yeah.
But we got to put this thing to bed.
Exactly.
We've got to either go to legal. Let me just clarify. The reason, one, that mine is not adequate based on the day discussion and stuff, I lumped in the water project and the pavilion are both, they need to be separated so that we can move forward, because there is some legitimate question on location. Even if it is on the 20 acres that we set aside, is it 50 feet from the pine trees or 100? Until they can get up there, what we'd ask is for them to stake it so any member could go and say, oh, I like this location, or no, I think it should be there, or no, I'm going to still argue it should go to the headquarters. I'm open for that to continue to proceed. And so I think without any, other than, I'm happy to have a vote of,
get the engineers started.
Because we're already there. Dale has the authority to do that.
Okay.
But just so that we put on the record that the tone of this meeting is drastically different than rescind it and stop all progress, or we're fighting and getting attorneys and accusing the board that they are not following their fiduciary duties and all of that. To have a vote of, what is it? Vote of confidence or a vote of
vote of confidence, yeah, we made a good decision last month. We acknowledge that we still need a written agreement, and we will work on that in the next coming months. And meanwhile, let's keep making as much progress as weather will allow.
Well, Barry, can we just separate this?
Yeah, I will go back and just kind of cut and paste that out into two separate things.
And then let's you guys start keep moving forward, get the paperwork going, get this set so we got a two legal documents that can get some signatures on and
by next meeting.
Can that state that we should tell Dale that go ahead and start scheduling?
He's already had that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. How do we need to put this? Hold on.
Mine's concerning the pavilion. Get rid of this.
On the water, Dale. So, what do we need to state here for the record? I agree that...
Conceptually, we agree with the letter. We're not actually signing it because it needs a bit of legal, a little bit more fine-tuning.
Correct. And I think the records do need to state, like you stated, that we have a different vote of confidence at this meeting versus the last.
A vote of confidence and reaffirm last month's action.
Vote of confidence from the board and the membership, or confidence?
Speak for the board.
We can speak for the board.
That's what I wrote.
Membership. the attending membership should be. I guess it's fair to say how you guys feel about the forward progress on this.
Here's the fine line, folks. You guys are the membership.
We are.
You are serving as the members.
True.
You are voted there, and so. One of the things that's really difficult about this whole process, when I write you, if you'll notice when I write, I respond occasionally to blanket emails. But when I write you guys, if you'll notice, it's you guys writing. I am not writing everyone else.
Right.
Okay? Whether they get sent elsewhere, there's one thing, but I'm writing to you guys. That's the process by which it goes. Okay? So there is no de facto leader of the membership.
Right.
Okay?
I was just simply stating for those members who are not on the board that are in attendance in this meeting, how is their general feeling towards this movement forward? I mean, I see thumbs up, I see head shaking yes.
Seven members that are not, eight members that are not on the board.
And they all were in agreement and were in thumbs up go motion.
Absolutely.
And next month you're going to bring a split?
We will separate the pavilion and the water because they are big enough to have different animals. They deserve different consideration.
Another thing as a member, I think we could bring up the cascading cost of this in the future as a cascade cost down to the membership. What is going to be costing the membership to run this project? I think very few of us know exactly what the cost is going to be and how it's going to... embed upon us in the future.
Okay. And that's a very legitimate question.
Right. I think a lot of people don't see that.
From my understanding point of view, and again, I'll say right up, there's several things in here I'm not sure I agree with. I was writing this to represent the accumulated input that I had gotten. I wanted to clarify for this. This is a very important point. And this is not what we are doing. This is everything that we won't or can't do. Just to say, okay, Dale, you're not going to go here, and Clark's Investments won't go there, to try to get it into everybody's comfort zone. Let me just state a couple things. One, on the water system, as of now, we are not putting in one penny. Once it would be completed based on this, anyone that wants to and sees a value in hooking into it can add a fee that would reimburse Dale for his hard cost in putting it together.
That's what I'm talking about, the cascading cost down the line.
But to you as a member, as far as you are from the dig, it should never cost you a penny. It would be for somebody, Sean and Don Fox have a cabin that's right there above the pond that would obviously be one that could hook into the system. If they want to pay the $5,000 or $7,500 fee, whatever it is, they can hook in, or they don't have to. And I left in here specifically the associated for the upper cabin. I put in here a negotiated fee. I was trying and assuming we would work a deal that, Dale, if we buy 10 hookups, we get a better deal than 10 individuals. Okay, that's why I said a negotiated fee. But that we hook it, but if we don't want to and we say, well, we're going to go from scratch, we're going to lay our own pipe, we're going to put in our own storage tank, we still own the land and are at full freedom to do that, separate from his system. As far as the pavilion, and that's why it's very clear in here, there is no fee. These emails that say, Dale, put it on your lot so that you can charge money and make money. There was never any intent on that. Once this pavilion, Dale would have control of that during construction to control safety, maybe keep it roped off, whatever. Once the Kane County Building Department gives it certificate of occupancy or completion, it then is regulated by the board of directors or its appointed committee to say, well, we may have some additional cost in trash removal. We better, so all the membership may do that. It will, like I said last time, will not change the zoning or use of the land. But the county is going to say, wow, we see a pavilion up there now. We deem that it's worth $50,000 or whatever, and we want a tax on that. And the association is going to have to go in with their eyes open, with full disclosure and all transparency and all those key words, that it's going to raise all of our assessments some amount of money.
The national pavilions that say right now, how will that affect our green status? And
not at all.
That's good.
The zoning and the use status will not change.
I think this transparency got out to the membership and they know what was going on. I think it would be a lot more.
Okay, well, that's what the intent of this was. So just so that I clarify, and if any of that's incorrect, let me know. But the kill days conspiracy theory that this is on the dollar figure. But until we know what the project of the water would cost, there's no way to divide out, okay, and we know how much water there is to say we can service 10 lots or 50 lots, and how much it costs, then we can divide it out and say, well, then a fair thing is X dollars as of today. There may be some escalating thing based on Dale's outlay of money, but, okay, and that fee is going to go up at a rate of 5% a year. And if you wait until 10 years to hook into it, it's only fair. It may cost you more then than it does today, because the members who do hook in today will start paying a maintenance fee, and they may improve or continue to maintain the system. And so somebody that hooks in 10 years later should pay more than somebody who hooked in 10 years earlier and has been paying their fee. That's all logical. The way the world turns,
that's fair.
All of this.
Yes.
So that's what I was putting in.
That's the transparency I was speaking about. I think they were pleased the membership to know what's going on.
But they need to know. They need to be communicated.
Well, they need to listen. No, these are the same. This is what I just restated. It's all, and some of you didn't get it. Like Mike, I apologize. I didn't get it. This went out with this letter and my explanation of that several days ago. And I know that I'm not criticizing anyone who didn't get it or haven't had a time to read it. I'm not saying that you should have. But the ones who have read it are the ones that are yelling loud and clear. I got what you said. I see what you said. But they are still absolutely opposed to it.
I think there's the same group of people that just focus on pushing out a negative, regardless of what everybody wants to bring in as a positive. You know.
What are you calling that? Not a resolution, is it?
No, it's titled the letter of agreement, February 2012.
A temporary letter of agreement.
Yeah.
Temporary.
Draft letter of agreement, February 2012.
Draft letter of agreement is the best way. Yeah.
But it does say February 2012. So, when we move forward, it was after our January vote, but before we move forward at our March meetings.
So I've written down that you will bring two new draft letters of agreement separating water pavilion and water and pavilion issues for the board to discuss.
I will email them to you so that they can go to the board with the minutes of this meeting to be considered.
With the minutes, okay.
How about temporary unapproved agreement? That protects them from being...
Well, like a draft.
Draft.
Draft
means anyway.
Yeah, well, that's... I got criticized. I said if I knew how to run a computer good enough, I would have stamped draft across it. You see that all the time? So, well, I don't know how to do it that much. I said that on the conference call because of the heat I was facing.
The computer will do that for you.
I know, it does.
Click a button.
Yeah.
Mark, I think you had a great discussion. I think you made good headway. I think there's people in this room that could squelch and could guide in a positive way the future of action as far as Deer Springs. I think there are some that are intent on the negative. I'm getting a lot of criticism that I drove Broughton's away.
Brayton.
Did it all. that I invited these people here last time, did it all, and the accusation that you're going to go into here in a minute, as far as hiring somebody, that they don't want someone that is going to serve Dale's needs and only Dale's needs. Things like that are so ridiculous.
Right.
If during Barbara Button's time up there, she didn't serve me a bit, neither did Ole. I was out of the country. Brayton's, I did. Paul came and visited with me, and it was a very nice visit. The only time I know that Brayton's have done anything for me personally, Pat and I were stuck, and he did hook on with the chain and got us out. Great. But as far as members, and you guys are the ones, we talk about communication, it's the negative communication, part of it comes out of this board, that is causing terrible damage.
Well,
and you guys can be the ones that can squelch any of these things, that somebody is foolish enough to think that I want to hire somebody that serves only Dale's needs and only his needs. We need this to stop those kind of...
Well, where are you reading that from, Dale?
It's from an email.
Another email, okay.
You wanted a computer earlier.
Is that it more productive to listen to Cricket?
Well, just to clarify, I think that comment came right after the email from Dale, which said something about brush hogging, fence posts, and stays, and a few other things.
Headgate
maintenance. Or
well, those all posted, that must have been all posted for your 20-acre lot.
Yeah, probably.
Must have. But there, you got a headgate somewhere that you were asking for stuff to be done on your lot.
Well, you know,
we
can heal our own problems if we
read. Here's the email that we've gotten.
I don't want them.
In a 10-day
report. I can't afford the papers. That's a 10-day report. No kidding.
You know what happens when these meetings go on? Because you got to sit up top.
Okay. Amen.
All right. I think, Linda, do you have what you need so that we can kind of in summarizing the water issue?
Dale has authority to move forward from previous meetings' vote. He has received a vote of confidence from the board to go forward, and 8 attending members not on the board. The next meeting, Ben will bring 2 draft letters of agreement that was written February 2nd, 2012, separating water and the zoning issues for the board to discuss, and will be included in the meeting minutes for this meeting. Is that enough?
I think it sounds fine. Okay. I think it sounds good.
Okay.
I think when you say that the non-members that support, also you might want to put that only one of them is his family. Because that's going to come back in email. He brought his whole family down there again. It might want to be.
That's a lot of
people. It's in the minutes.
Non-board members is what I'm going
to say. That's a good comment.
It will come back.
And after this meeting, I'm much more aware of how...
Have you been secret on that blank call the other night?
No.
Okay, that's all. Are we to rest on this call for right now?
I
made a motion. We're rest of the motion. Well, we already had the motion. We already passed this one last week.
Right, but whatever she just wrote, then
I motion that except as Linda has just wrote down, as we've been discussed, to go forward.
Well, we've already mentioned it.
Yeah.
I seconded it.
Ryan seconded it. We're just going to have a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
Abstain. Abstain. All right, on the record. All right, moving on to the... go ahead.
Mark, I just have one comment, and that's to educate the board concerning the water rights. Your letter from DWW for your proving up on your water source, that is when the culture of that you've already put in for. This what we're talking about on Middle Canyon Springs is a diligent claim. It's been effective, 1940, 1930. It does not run on the same rules as your culinary claim. So just wanted to note that.
No,
understand how that works.
Agreed.
disagree, I want to go on the record that I agree with Jody on that, that the, this specific water would have been lost if Dale had not done the work after his mission and saved it. I don't know that it has the same. We have other water rights at Deer Springs at higher risk of being lost if we don't get moving forward on them than this specific one. But I don't know where it is a surface flow that it has the risk. So
okay.
We are moving. I support moving forward with this project for the benefit it will have to the ranch, not for fear that we're going to lose it.
With that same comment, Joni, you did say because my property was built and that stuff was put into place 10 years ago. Yes, I agree.
Well, I probably
worded right, like what you're saying. So. Thank you for that clarification. Okay, on to the pavilion portion of this little segment.
I'm here for a second. This is Joe Reagan.
Hey, Joe. Go ahead.
I have one question. Will the pavilion be visible from Cabin 1 when looking towards the tank cliffs, or will it be obscured so you can't see it?
We discussed this quite a bit. I still need a photograph from the deck of Cabin 1 or 2 because a lot of people are in the misperception that it's in the pine trees or whatever. If it's the location I think we talked about, we pointed out on the map east of it, is it around the corner from the Mavis or could you see it from the deck of Cabin 1 or 2?
I think you probably can.
We've talked about that.
Yep.
However, I am not speaking for Dale. I cannot determine his, but it has been discussed quite a bit that if it's not allowed on association land, it may be moved a couple hundred yards to the east onto Dale's private lot, which I guarantee you can see from Cabin 1 and 2.
More so than partially.
So, again, I'm not on it because I think there is some very good question and logical discussion of if it should be at the headquarters or if there's a better location. There's been some that, Val's asking for it to be out on lot number one.
Yeah, why not?
And so, I think that still needs to be discussed. We are not...
We might choose to move it.
Yeah, we are not... That is not a determined thing.
You can see it from Cabin 1, I can tell you. I can vouch for that.
Before
you're sitting on putting it,
where was proposed, I think that it would be visible from 1 and 2. Maybe not 3. I don't know what it would be.
Not 3.
Not from 3.
Yes?
Yeah.
Right now, Hunt is parking a motorhome in the trees. And it's east of that.
You go quite a ways.
Yeah, and you can see his motorhome from one.
Okay, good to know, because I couldn't follow on the conference call briefly, said he would send a picture. But so that does, for the record, if it goes where it was proposed, you would see the roof line, the roof of it, from one to, again, I'm happy to take them. It's easy to take a photograph and doctor it and superimpose the canopy that Dale has pictures of that was an example and see what it looks like. And there's some members that if it's there at all, it may be visually offensive to them. It needs to then come to the majority. Are they okay with it there? Or they don't even want to see the gravel parking lot that may go there?
Well, likewise, you'll be able to see the gravel parking lots in there too, and it would be the same difference, really.
Right.
So. Just a quick question and real quick answer in the last several meetings. Wasn't they going to go by the pond originally?
There's one thing I tried to clarify. The pavilion that Dale, the founder's pavilion that Dale had proposed in January, is a complete separate issue of the upper fish pond. The upper fish pond is a pavilion that board of directors and membership donation was working on. We mainly have, with Dave Turley's leadership, the materials. Paul had prepped the pad, and we had started that. Dale said, I'd like to see a bigger one. I personally have said, I'd like to see 4 or 5. I don't want 25, but we need several. And so Dale said, I have materials and will donate and help with some of the other families to build a bigger one that's big enough to have a fireplace in it, a stage in the end for a big gathering. The one at the fish pond was still talked about as something that would handle, be smaller than the size of this room, that would have a few picnic tables. The reason, and I want this to go out, I was one that influenced some and said, I don't know that I want the big pavilion at the upper fish pond. The upper fish pond is a valued area to the members.
And when you're there fishing to have a couple of the families, it's nice. Now, if a family reunion of 150 people drop in, it's going to cramp on my style and what the members have already grown over 40 years to appreciate. So I encouraged them, said, Dale, if you want to do it, let's not do it at the fish pond. Let's go and take an ugly area with no shade and put that big pavilion and then just have a nice smaller one there. And I thinking that was a good idea, but it's been misunderstood as we were. Dale was stealing the previous pavilion or anything. I mean, the funding for the upper pond pavilion, I don't know, got into the budget. I was not in the process in October when this budgeting happened. But we still need to move forward with that. And that's still, I hope within 10 years, we still get one down at near the ranch headquarters or between cabin 7, 8, 9, and 10.
We still haven't been putting money towards the pavilion.
Mm-hmm. Well, this previous budget that's been
on. Well, it was. And it got spent on other things that didn't go into this year's budget.
Are those truss rafters we donated for the smaller one undercover?
Yes.
They're going to rot. They're
steel and they're laying out. In
no, the ones people made it wrong.
Hold on, Joe. We'll give you a second
call.
Okay, Joe, go ahead, Joe.
Okay, pavilion, and a lot of you people may show up at one time. It's going to be an adult facility. That don't mean an outhouse.
So I'll take reservations.
Something that people could use because larger people, groups, will have a lot of food and water. Something will come up, no doubt.
I think I can answer that question safely that there will be bathroom facilities in the pavilion. Yes, Dale and Patsy are shaking their heads.
Well, that's but again, phase one that was proposed, it is designed in there, but it may be porta potties until those can be built.
Exactly. It may be a step by step process. But yes, Joe, all those needs will be maintained and addressed definitely for sanitary reasons of the right above the water system and everything else.
Thank you.
Okay.
Larry,
sorry. You're getting that time flying there, and I don't see it. I apologize for that.
100 years ago when I was on the board at Howard Oil, I went all over the state and quite a few other places and clear up to the polygamists and took pictures of all the pavilions I could find. But the thing, and we talked quite a bit about that, but what I would like to see first, I'd like to see them in all three places, basically, but what I'd like to see first is to have us a nice pavilion by the camp headquarters for several reasons. We've had a couple of rainy meetings out there for the general, for our September meetings. That would be an ideal place for that. You've got your garden cabin and you've got other places there where people would bring in friends for a family reunion or something on a weekend. That would be a place that could be utilized. It could be built right in that area, fairly close to the garden cabin where we used to have all the machinery and stuff that I wish they'd have left there. But, you know, that would be probably the most used place. It could be used for a longer period of time. I'd like to see one the other places too. I've been up there by right where the spring is and that tree's growing up there, there'd be a beautiful place in there to put some nice little camps and stuff and places for people to pull campers for overnight stays and stuff. But for the most use, I believe right at the camp headquarters, we could use it for our September. I mean, we wouldn't have to worry about if it's raining or if it might be a little tricky getting up, but most of us have been in there when it's been tricky. But we could use it, and people could use it that way. And I think when it's not being used as a group, it could be reservations made. It could be far enough away from the garden cabin to be the playgrounds and the other stuff between it, so that a group could come in there, they could park down there, they wouldn't interfere with the other group, and still have rent that out for a day-long family reunion and not have to interfere with the other stuff, and yet be close enough where they go into the store and buy soda water and things like that. But if that, to me, that would be used over a longer period of time, and that way it would be a bigger benefit. Yeah, I'd love to see some stuff up in, and even on that one other lot way back over that we have that's got water and stuff on it, could be places like that, so we'd have a bigger diversion. But that's what I was thinking. Has anybody ever been up at in Hilldale where they've got that one that the Twigs built. Mm-hmm. They've done a beautiful job there. Stonework and a place where they can have a kind of a circle amphitheater. It takes a little bit of work, but, where they could have evening programs and stuff. And there's a lot of things that can be done. That's my reasoning, to have one foot in there. It doesn't have to be a big one. Might not even be any bigger than length in this room, and maybe two-thirds of the width. You can still get as many people as we have come to our September meetings.
Okay.
In there dry, and have the bathroom facilities that we got there, maybe you're on that some. But
right. I think that, just so that everybody knows, the reason that the size of the pavilion at the upper part of the board is working on is determined by the materials we have.
Yeah.
The size of the pavilion that Dale has proposed as a founder's pavilion is determined by the size of the trusses that Dale has that he's willing to donate and install and put into place.
Which, there is no link to Mike, where those came from.
They came out of State Center. They just demolished the State Center. Dale salvaged got the salvage right, the metal trusses from the gymnasium. There's enough of those that are 50 feet long.
54
feet long, there's enough of them, and those in the wood structure with the uprights and stone. So we do need to, one, Linda, if you'll help us follow through, get the draft plans, and he has the photos he had were one, Larry, that you may not have seen, was taken over in Colorado. Yeah. It matches the one that the LDS Church has done at the Heber Valley Girls Camp up there. So there's a very similar, pretty close, accepted, proven out floor plan with a kitchen and bathrooms in one end, an open at the other end, and a fireplace in the middle that goes up through a hood. That's what is being proposed. You know, I'm getting just so that everybody, you know, we need another committee to really hash through, because between the lower cabins where Paul had done open pit is a nice area that's out there. I've had several people said, please do not put it down in the ranch yard. I want that to remain rustic barn, rustic buildings, barn wood.
It'd be built to where it looks just exactly the same.
Well, I'm just saying, that's just a feeling. I'm not saying what I agree with, or there, or at Fish Pond. Again, this one is big enough. If we put it there, we'd have no parking around it unless we moved it to the south side of the road zone, or up where that. There's been five locations thrown out. There's only one big one right now that anybody's willing to fund. If anybody, please, Fred, I'm going to pick on you again. If the Fred Searles Pavilion, and Fred says, I will put in $50,000 and build a pavilion, wherever Fred wants it to go, you know what, it's going to carry a lot of weight with
it. And if we can find the help from the memberships to draft special funding projects or something to help put these extra pavilions in these other locations, I think that would be an awesome way, or even help us when it comes time to budget. I mean, we put the call out there for when we have our budget meetings, and nobody showed up to help us out with the budget. So we fought for 3 months, I think, trying to figure out how to salvage the budget and at least get through this year.
So just from the board point of view, anybody that disagrees with it being on the 20 acres that we voted on, that's right now the standing rule, I invite you to give your feedback to the board. To Dale, who proposed it as the founder pavilion, if it gets relocated, Dale said he is open to suggestions, it may be moved. If you want a different size and all that, because that's not the material, I'm happy, please put together plans and give us drawings and propose where you'd like yours to go. Moving on.
Wait, because this is important also. There's been some confusion about a metal building going up the north end of the meadow. We're talking about two completely separate pavilions. The one that I had proposed last year, just so everyone knows, is white steel panel. It's from that chair, if you can imagine, that's the size of it. It's this part of the room from that chair over this corner, 20 by 25 feet. The way it's designed, that's the way the panels, that's the length, that's the amount that we have. There's white steel panels. And if that's the issue, then we have the alternative, we could paint them a different color, if it's brown, pink, or blue, whatever we decide, which is going to end up peeling off. It's not going to last, or if it'll fade, it won't peel off, but it's not going to last forever. The finish that's on there is baked on. It's got 7 layers of paint, 4 on top and 3 on the bottom. So there's a, or probably, both on four on top and bottom, in primer, et cetera. So anyway, they're sitting out at the north end of the well field in the weather, and they'll be fine for a long time. They're up on board, so they're out of the dirt, and they could sit there for the next 100 years, and they're just increasing in value because scrap is going up. So we don't use them. So we use something else, if that's the issue. The other issue that I wrote in an email to Brent, I don't know who else got it, is if it's the issue of the way it looks, we could surround it by trees so that you can't see it from cabin one, if that's the issue, because it's also the same issue that we have with the big pavilion. What we end up putting on the roof, it could be granulated asphalt shingles that are going to fall apart in the next 30 years, and then they'll have to be redone at a $30,000 expense or whatever it ends up being. Or we can put metal panels on it, whatever color we pick, and it could be pink. But anyway, the point is, that's the bridge that we burn when we get to it eventually. But we can do it on green metal panel, which is going to last, has a lifetime warranty on it, which means it lasts for a lot longer than any of our lives will last. So, but it isn't, it's not going to stay green forever. But the point is, we could surround the pavilion by trees so that from cabin one it's not seen. If that's an issue, it'll create more shade, it'll block the wind, whatever. But we've got to decide what it ends up looking like. That pavilion is going to be made with wooden trusses on the inside. You can't see them from the outside, from the cabin one. But again, we're talking about two different pavilions.
But they are metal trusses. They are metal. They're big metal trusses.
but the point is, it's not a metal sided building like you would imagine a warehouse would be or something. That's not what it is.
Now, Mark, I think we're making marvelous headway in a positive way. And one of the things you've talked about is communication. When we're talking about money, who's going to pay for it? We spent money and put together three different PowerPoints as a communication system for the whole membership to know and to think about as ways we could raise money, how can we pay this, how can we afford to take care of our managers, and the equipment, the money is a big item, and the communication. We've tried to do that, and yet today, I don't think I've received one feedback from those here or throughout the entire membership on the PowerPoint presentation that was made at the annual meeting.
You got ours.
And so we're moving, and we're communicating better, but we've got to go ahead and get on with it, or we'll all be dead before you're dead.
Right. I think Larry pointed out that, and I think he's right, that part of that thing will probably be excluded or concealed by part of the hill.
You want to move it over to the little sagebrush flat that is east of Meadow Canyon Road. If any of you know where the Bear Spring Pond is, just directly to the right as you head up the canyon. It's still on association ground. It's not on Block 76. That coal you cannot see from the cabin.
And there would be some fun. I think location is something that we still need when we can access it later in life, and I think that part should probably be tabled until we can get up there to look at it and see that we can actually stake it out. Here's option one, here's option two, here's option three, and then let them voting take place at that point. As where people would like to see it more. But ultimately, I think it's Dale's decision, because he's actually funding, he's building it. I think it's just our situation is that we're allowing the thing to move forward. But I think until we can actually get up there and stake it out and actually see it, I personally believe we don't need to keep beating this around today.
Take some time that we don't.
I think today we need to move forward.
Go.
So I think we need to. The other item we need to talk about is the ranch manager.
Yep.
Did we do that in an open forum there?
We need to start it.
Because I want the members' input, and like I said, there's several that come to have as good of information as the board does that we can talk about it. But if we've got to talk some stuff in an executive session, I think.
Right.
So,
I'd say let's move right into discussion then about ranch manager. that the attending members would like to give some input before we excuse them for getting our meeting. Do you guys want to throw something out there?
I don't know to get it on, but do you have specific things or just input?
Well, I really didn't have much specifics. I tossed out the idea that you all saw. I don't have any big vested interest in that idea. It just was actually pointed to me by somebody else. I thought about it, and I checked with Mom, and she thought it might work. I checked with Paul, and he thought it might work. And I checked with V, and of course, he knows it'll work.
Okay.
Even though he's young, he really doesn't know it will work.
That's one thing I wanted to openly discuss here, because that was one that, you know, it quickly snowballed into where I told somebody yesterday, I'm all of a spin to the point of threatened that if we don't hire Dee to do it, then we're in trouble. And I don't know him at all. I've met him a few times. You guys definitely know him, and he's definitely a likable person. I also
know him the best, I think, between he and I.
I don't know if I'll get to the okay.
That's just an idea that was thrown out for consideration. I don't have any particularly strong feelings either way. I do encourage the board, when they start to interview folks, to look beyond just their maintenance and mechanical abilities.
So we've got to have the people skills to have the, you know, we are not going to replace Paul and Nancy in my hopes. I mean, the depth of their heart and their relationship with the members has been far surpassed any previous manager, and I don't know that we're going to be able to replace that. The only way is if we get somebody who will stay there longer, because they picked it up, and that side of their job description and stuff, they were up and above amazing on. On the other hand, I do think, you know, with Linda's process to back up and say, what is the job description, what do we want to do, and reconstruct some of that, and then interview anybody, because I still never heard of Paul, Nancy, or Dee when we're open to this idea, but you've now reported that you have talked to them, that they are, consider people that would fit what the association needs, not write a job description for somebody that, you know, because they're already here or something.
The only other thing I'd add before I get behind Brad here is, we all know that's a tough go out there, living out there. And I would encourage the board to perhaps try to find someone who's done it in some capacity, where they can say to you, look, we've lived off the grid, or we've lived 25 miles from town, we've dealt with it in isolation. Because, you know, you don't want to hire somebody who looks good on paper and they're out there for a month and they're out of there. So that, you know, I know.
I maintain that we're really approaching having two couples up there. One person cannot do all the plumbing and all the barbecues and all the fencemen. So I the board's got to get realistic.
And Dale's been clear a little bit. I know for a fact that I did it out there for several years. I don't know. I'm not the same thing. as an assistant to Benny and Joey, and Benny and Joey also had, and there was other people too, like Art Trimmer, and Phil. Anyway, we've been through a few of them out there. I remember I assisted them in the day-to-day long draw that thing, and I agree that it is a tough job. That Paul does not have an easy job, but there's enough to do all day long. And there was times when there was two families, if I'm not mistaken.
We've never really had two families.
Isn't there?
No, we've had some helpers.
Helpers, and okay.
But
I think even at a helper standpoint, to go along with somebody as a family, I think that's definitely something we need to do.
Well, let me make one other comment as far as the process with the members. My feeling is, I don't even know for sure. I thought Paul and Nancy would be here when he communicated. I don't know if Paul even already out of the area. I know he was leaving before Nancy.
He's coming on Monday.
Monday. And then Nancy was planning on maybe by the 15th was what they had said. With what work Grant has volunteered to do, or we need to compensate Grant, in my opinion, I'll throw that out now, but some of this, we're not going to get somebody here to overlap and spend, you know, Paul's offered to consult by phone if it's indeed, and there's definitely going to be a better relationship in that aspect. I would rather they'll go through this process and do it right instead of saying, we got to have somebody up there in 2 weeks. If the cabins don't open until May 15th, and we will get those that are up there like Brent to watch to make sure stuff is not stolen and watch over the place while it is all winterized, and we take our time to do this while we're in the off-season to do it right, I'm in favor of that whole process. So even if we end up, you know, saving a little bit of payroll for a while that we can put back towards one of these other projects, you know, I don't want to pay somebody else to move up there just to spend all the time pushing snow.
Yeah. True. I agree 100%.
Okay. All right. Let me just give you my input on this. Dale brought up a very interesting point, and that is that I too manage the place as the on-site manager by myself in another winter. And that means I open the cabins, I close the cabins when we had guests. We weren't doing the laundry at that time. We were hauling it, but I was hauling laundry down and doing all those things. Even in the winter, it's a huge job.
Are you able and willing to do that?
I can't help you out full time, but I can help you out as much as I possibly can. I'll make this commitment. I've got three commitments going on right now. Any day that I'm there, I'll give you a 10-hour day. Okay, but I've got a big project I'm working on over in Washington County, and I've got to finish that. The finishing that will actually coincide with about the time that you guys really need some help. Okay, there are others up there that you could ask for a little bit of help from. Larry Meltzer would, I'm sure, help out a little bit. Not full time, but a little bit, you know, especially to compensate. As far as I'm concerned, I don't require any compensation. Okay? If I have to do any long distance travel, you might throw me a few bucks for diesel fuel. Other than that, it's my community. I work, you know. Anyway, my point is this. It's a huge job. I am a huge fan of Dee. He's a good kid. And I think that he could learn the job over a period of time, but he's one person. He can't do that job. It's too big a job. There are parts of it that he could learn all of these things, but he's one person. Especially during the season, one person can't do that job. There's no way. I would think if Dee would be willing to come out and be a helping hand during the summertime and get paid for that, I think that'd be great. But as far as a ranch manager couple goes, if you take Paul and Nancy and look at them as a demographic, meaning their age, their energy level, that's what we need to be looking for. We need to be, and it's an important point that Mike made. We need to find somebody who has experience with this, that doesn't just look good on paper, you know. The last fire chief I worked for, he had a degree from Harvard. He didn't know which end of the hose the water came out of, but he had a degree from Harvard. And so my point is that we can have somebody that looks really good on paper, but if they don't have any practical experience with living that way, with understanding, and I can help them with, I know we're just about where every valve is, and I know how to run every piece of equipment out there. I know everything that needs, that I can disseminate information to them, and that won't be a problem. But the problem is that we need to find the right person. And I don't want to see someone come and leave, okay, because then they just got to do it again. And I don't want to see, I won't mention any names, I don't want to see people come and at the end of the season get fired because all of a sudden we find out about their character either. You know, I want to see somebody come who's going to be there for a while, who over time, and it might be a little standoffish at first, but over time, they'll develop the relationship, necessary personal relationship with members, in which that personal relationship is after hours or on my days off. That's what I think we need to be looking for. Okay, and this is not, once again, I know that Ben was bombarded with a bunch of positive support for Dee, and there's nobody that is a bigger fan of him than I am. He's probably, I communicate with him as a 20-year-old better than any other 20-year-old I know. You know, he doesn't chew bubble gum, he isn't, you know, talking in terminal, you know, in texting terms that I don't understand. You know, he communicates well, but it's too big a job. All right? I think we'll go for a couple. I'll help out where I can. I know that there's a few others that will help out.
You mentioned you know, where every valve and everything else is on the ranch too. While I was there last with my dad, there was a question that Paul asked him, and my dad says, "Where is the book that we designed years ago that's been passed down that's supposed to say where the drawings of where the fuel line runs down from the tank down over to the ship?" Now, there's a book, and Barbara or Kathy, one of those gals has a book. And Paul, I think he knows about this book, and I think he's heard about it. But there is a book that has all the graphic stuff when we put the water line up and over the top of on the airstrip and brought it down. When we put the pipeline going up into the upper cabins, there's a book that has all this information.
I've seen the book. I haven't seen it since Paul and Nancy have been there. I just assumed it was there. It's got. There are pictures of the 3-4,000 gallon tank thing and the water coming into it. There's drawings of where all the water lines go, where the electrical goes.
Right. Let's move on, because we need to do our best to make this transition. Two other ideas that I have been asked but would like to throw out is what Brandon said. The other is, like I said, somebody coming and leaving at the end of the year. Two ideas is, do we want to move forward, and I'm talking, let's say, 5 to 10 years-ish, because we want this to be a workable thing. Is it a better idea to hire employees or go to more of a contract basis, but we hire you and you can't leave, just do it? I mean, right now, and if we we've had turnover before, well, managers walk out in the middle of July and leave us completely hanging. That's a risk anytime we're with employees. So that's one scenario. Do we go contract versus employee? What does that mean tax wise and money wise? Because we are always short on money. And the other is full time versus seasonal. And we were always seasonal. Beck says, I believe, we're the first ones year-round that were really there. Their base, the compensation, though, I was on the board and was president during their stay. Their compensation, though, was based on working in the summer, taking off some time in the winter, and some of the projects. We always think we're going to have them be productive in the winter, but until we have a metal building that they can do some welding under, we have facilities that they can do it, all we do is burning more fuel, pushing snow. And so the idea there, and it's one that I am open to, is if Brent, for example, or somebody, there's always been somebody that's living up there now, is willing to have a stipend wage once we winterize the cabins after October until April or something to check on things, to, feed what few animals there are or get rid of the animals through the winter and spend our money in the, in the 6 to 8 months of use. And there is a lot of seasonal people who do that. I don't know if it'll work if we'll get the right people or if we at least have a base and then we ramp up in the summer. But we've got to overcome that where just in the last few months it's been critical. Paul has felt the pressure of needing to do something, but really can't. There's been suggestions. We'll get to, doing this. In the meanwhile, we have broke more equipment and spent more money on more fuel the last few years between November and April than we did in any other 4-month period of time. And it didn't benefit anybody at the ranch. And so, even after the job description we did this last year is saying, that the ranch, the manager's going to do everything. I'm very positive to go in to say, look, the ranch manager is doing some fence maintenance. Yes. If not, it's not even in their description. We do not compensate them. We're going to save that money to hire, a Caleb Button to build fence, to even do some of the road maintenance, even to do plumbing repairs, a lot of those things. Deer Springs is so much closer to Kanab than it was 40 years ago.
There's a lot of things as far as cleaning the cabins and everything. That there are people here locally that on a contract basis would go up every Friday and change beds and just like a laundry service and drive back to town. And honestly, the cost to the association, I think in a lot of ways we would get a far better job for far less money with somebody who is responsible, you know, is professional and licensed and whatever, do that. And if they don't do a good job, it's easy to fire and hire a different contractor without losing momentum in every other area of the ranch. Like that. Yes.
Hey, I can help a little bit, but it could be cut off. But in reference to opening the cast of this year, Brent is volunteered to do it. I know he's a little handicapped, so Candy and I will volunteer to come up and help guide him to clean the cabins. So if you have money time, you can give me a schedule, and we'll be up there to help open the upper cabins.
We appreciate that. Yeah. All right, Joe, we appreciate your input and your willingness to listen to this meeting today. And thank you for your volunteering your help, too. All right. Anything else from other two, you two from the...
Well, I've got a question for you.
Hold on, Bob's making a comment, then we'll go to you, Jody.
But a couple of weeks ago, a friend was over to visit my mom, him and his wife, and their son's working over in Las Vegas, and he's going to be coming back to Kanab, and he had stated that he's had experience being a ranch hand, and so I told him to put a resume together that I could present to the board. And do you want me to still do that? Of course, it might be even more important now.
We're open for all.
Yeah, I think to leave from this meeting, all board members and everybody that has people say, hey, I'm kind of interested in it, or I have something to, then the first thing is please get a written resume to Linda that can be forwarded out to the member, the board of directors.
If you know of anybody that you feel that would be suitable for this thing, that's looking for a long term, and I think the thing is, we want a long term commitment. Now, I don't want to be dumping in money into training and education to somebody that's just going to up and leave when we could have contracted out our water resource inspections instead of lose all this money.
Okay, so because we need to really do it, and I've talked too much with this question.
Sorry.
Hey, okay, thank you. The level between contracts and employees, you know, while I still agree with you, like, even though the best kind of employees are going to be there forever, and it just never happens, a good point about employee versus contract was, you know, if you get an employee that gets to be disgruntled and they're under contract, you're not going to be able to get rid of them or maybe spend rid of them, but maybe they hang around and just be belligerent or unproductive the rest of their contract time. But the reason I wanted to be thanked here to talk about it, and I don't remember who was talking, I don't remember who was bringing it up, but and Brent needs to touch on this, but wow, we have Dean that's really to do this job, and I agree we probably need two people, but what about Larry Meltzer? And he, I know last summer he had the least because he had to take his job during the summer somewhere. What if we had me and Larry Meltzer to work this? Just an idea, throwing it out there. Just putting it out there for you.
Okay. Get with that person and have him submit paperwork for the board to review, please. We need everybody's participation in helping to find somebody to do this.
And I'm adding this just because it's pretty funny. myself personally, I'd recommend Joel McElroy and his wife Arlene because they'd be perfect, except Joel would not take this job in a million years because he couldn't stand the politics. And
the politics will get in the way. That's the problem.
Yeah,
it is a huge problem.
All right. Anything else anybody want to throw out there for right now before we go ahead? Right.
I really think Brent needs to be compensated. Like Ben said, I don't care what he says. He's going to shake his head because of his heart. But I'm not on the board, but if I were, I would find some way.
Brent does a lot.
They haven't seen my request for next month. I'm bringing something in front.
If he was paid $10 an hour for all the time he's put in the last 10 years, he'd have a couple hundred thousand more.
He would be broke.
Yeah.
No, I just
we do acknowledge all of Brent's hard work, and we do appreciate it as a board, and I'm sure as the rest of the association does as well. Brent is awesome.
Thanks, Brent.
Thank you, Brent.
All right.
Okay, I make a motion that Linda put in the local newspapers, the websites we know of, where we found Paul Nancy, the
homeschool,
the Live Off the Grid, Mother Earth News.
Oh, that's a good idea.
If it's reasonable enough in that kind of a magazine.
What about Colorado City?
Well, if we do the Southern Utah News and the Spectrum, we'll hit all of Southern Utah. Yeah. That would be hit St. George Cedar, a lot of Mesquite, Nevada area. A generic, a little bit of a general ad, but just say Deer Springs Ranch, because everybody knows, a lot of people know that, looking for on-site manager, ways depending on experience, blah, blah, blah. Call your number or mail resume to the P.O. box. And just to immediately start seeing what kind of feedback we get. I don't know that we can determine a lot beyond that, but we do need to get that out immediately. But again, Linda can't do that. We have to, hey, Linda, have you already advertised? No, she didn't and isn't going to unless we ask her.
I thought I asked in an email, but maybe my email didn't go out because I had real crappy service. So.
You might put it on KFL, too.
No, that's not a bad idea. A couple of those websites, KFL's a good one that's a little more.
What is the name about KFL?
KFL.com.
Yeah. Linda, call me and I'll help you get it on there.
Well, and any members. So once we get that written, we can post it on the BSRA website so that there's friends out who can support it and say, here's what's wrong with them.
Agreed.
So once that goes out, is the board of directors, the other question, is the board going to hire somebody or do we want a committee that is part board and part member? I mean, if there are members here that are on the board that says, yeah, I'm willing to come to CNAB or wherever and meet, because we really need to hash through some of the really between board meetings.
I'm not on the board, but I would like to be a part of the program.
You will be.
Okay.
I don't want to include the barbecue, though.
I will have a problem here.
You made a motion. Is there a second?
I second that motion. And we have a vote on that?
Aye.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I didn't even know what you were going
to advertise. To advertise for ranch hand job position.
Okay, thank you.
Is that a vote for or against?
Yes or no?
I'm voting for.
Okay, so all in favor.
Tell me what you want to call these people, because when we hired Paul and Nancy, there was a concern as to what their title was.
Deer Springs Ranch. You want to say on-site caretaker? We've gone to litigation before over the manager.
Really?
Under
Yes. Yes. Those of you that haven't been here for the last 7 rodeos, we've gone to people losing their lots and all kinds of those things based on that. So that's where we loosely always call them the on-site manager or something, but there's some legal ramifications. So in advertising up front, I think something like on-site caretaker for something.
Host family.
We don't want to say family because
personnel
is a good word. Personnel is a great word. Personnel.
Yeah.
Host personnel. Ranch host personnel.
They need to do a lot more than host.
Working manager. I agree. There's lots of
good ranch managers. Another good place to look.
Working in BLM.
This is not a
BLM employee.
This is not a social event. This is not a hosting social event, as sometimes they got drifted off to be.
Well, that's where somehow, and I'm happy to, we can email about this, but something that's ranch hand / host / manager. I don't have a problem with that, but I do know that, we need to be careful when people show up and say, hey, I'm running the show, and I'm not open to input because I'm
the same. Words covers all your bases.
Yeah.
You should be.
Yeah. Let's think about those and everybody throw some input back on the title position.
I will send you what I'm just on the site before it goes out.
And same rule applies.
Plus, is good for job description.
And I think the same rule applies, like we've already discussed earlier. At least 3 members must approve and the work is posted out.
Okay.
All right, anything else before we just adjourn?
I got one more thing.
Yes, Bob.
Vance has asked me to replace Paul as a water master, whether I take that position or not. And my question is whether you want to take that away from the manager, ranch manager himself, and like privatize it.
With that, what I stated earlier, I think that what you're asking for is what we pay.
I mean, what the ranch wants to do on it, even though Vance asked me if I would do it.
Well, the question is, one, are you willing to? I know that Paul talked with, he told me he had, so I assume he already had talked to Kane County Water Conservancy. This was my concern when we've now invested more money in Paul Brake and getting state certified and educated as much as anything, and we're less than a year out from him getting that finished, and now he's gone.
Right.
And we did the same thing with Taylor Button before. And so to have that contracted to an organization like that that will come out monthly or whatever and send out our water samples, whatever the minimum requirement with the state.
Vance emailed me back yesterday and said that he's been in touch with the water people and he's got a whole year for somebody to decide to take the job.
Yeah.
So he said there's no big rush.
What Ben is saying there is I don't think we want to invest money into training somebody again when we can just simply contract it out. Somebody else already has that expense and done, because what's to say, God forbid something happens with you and you're not around anymore, and yet we've got, just like Paul, we've got all this money invested, time invested, and now you're no longer, and we go through this whole step all over again. I think we just get involved when I've got from here out.
That's why I said something.
We didn't really think it for them, take it the cost that is, they would.
We don't know what that cost would be.
Well, when Dirk was the president, he said that the Water Conservancy District Board, and they were willing to, even in their funding, they get government funding to do some of it, but they didn't want to step on Paul's toes, and we're at the point of encouraging Paul, and so that all backed off. To encourage Paul to get educated and know how to do it.
Hey, I pay taxes every year to the Kane County Water Conservancy
right.
District.
That's right. Every one of us, you look on your taxes and a good chunk of it and say, look, for the one thing that you're doing for the Deer Spring Drainage as a whole, we would like, even if it's a matter of, you or Brent or me, somebody actually taking the samples to their specs and bringing it into town and handing it to Mark Fisher or turning their office and they mail it through their lab source, it's not a big deal. We spend a lot more money than we needed to already.
Right. Larry, you have a quick question.
The water has to be taken and turned in within so many hour periods.
Yeah.
The source has to be
right. And so instead of Brent, who runs around a lot, bringing that sample from Deer Springs to Kanab and going in with Kanab, we have paid Paul to drive to Cedar City multiple times and spend the entire day lopping that off. And
you know how we used to do it? We bring it into town. Somebody from the office over here that goes, they have a runner that goes around. She'd take it to Cedar City and drop it off.
There's multiple people.
We pay her like $5 to do it.
There's just a lot of things we can explore later. I think we need to continue doing that stuff. I think let's move on. Let's close this meeting up, and we'll go into an executive session. Anybody want to? I'd make a motion to do that. I will second that motion to adjourn this meeting.
I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
Okay. This particular meeting is adjourned. We do need to have an executive session.